Thank you for downloading this Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire podcast. And as a special thank you for you, we've got a special deal just for you. Beer 52 shipped themed monthly boxes of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious exclusive craft beer selected to your preferences and the award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack using our code PROPER at beer52.com. So you get 8 exclusive hand-selected beers this month. It's Norwegian craft beers. The 100-page Ferment magazine and a snack, free next-day delivery, and flexible monthly subscription. All that for £14 in your first month at beer52.com.
Proper sport at 6. You won't miss a minute, whether they matter or not.
Fire it, he's going to dummy, he's going to
win! Yes!
Curry's over the line. No, he isn't. He's lost the ball.
He's off.
He's gone.
Go on, Johnson.
This is the home of full match commentary. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
We're back. It's that time of week again. Another 2 hours live Rugby League action right here on your home of Rugby League on the radio, Radio Yorkshire. Get in touch with us at RL on RY this evening. You can also get in touch with the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. We're live there right now. We've got prizes to give away. We've got plenty to discuss. We've got a world record possibly on the show from last week. Has anyone ever been more wrong with a prediction? Gary Schofield. Paul will win by 34. They lost by 45. 79 points out. You're a disgrace, Schofield. You are a disgrace.
Good evening, Matt Wilson.
Good evening, sir. Are you well?
Very well.
You are sleep deprived, of course, over the weekend. So I'm a bit worried about your... Are you all right? Have you had a couple of hours kick this afternoon? Because it was a bit of a wild one, wasn't it, on the Radio Yorkshire tour this weekend?
It was indeed, yes. So it's certainly a lack of sleep, because, my good friend Richard Shaw, right, just likes to make a bit of a noise with a snoring there, with a snoring.
So do you, it has to be said.
No. So
it's
anyway,
an illness.
You know, so we'll be for sure here, Mark. I won't be rooming again with Mr. Shaw, right? That is a fact.
Cheering.
But it's been great. But
it's worked.
It's been a great weekend. I think it's the first time all weekend when I've been quiet because I was just lacking sleep. Never but a great mind. Weekend. Great
Enjoy
week.
It.
Brilliant. Loved it.
Phil, you were there. Did you, was it everything you thought it would be this time around? Because we were led to believe, there's not going to be many there, it might not be as good, we need to look to go somewhere else.
No, it was more than I anticipated. I wasn't in the camp that said, necessarily because the crowd goes down, it's the end of the concert, but I just thought Newcastle reaffirmed its right to have that event, that everything about it just felt good. More people in the stadium for matches that you thought perhaps would be poorly attended. Great atmosphere throughout. I got the impression that because people are getting used to this now, even though some of them book tickets late, it's that party atmosphere is really starting to kick in. So why would you want to take it away from somewhere that looks like it is the perfect venue? Yes, still the same questions about what do we want out of Magic Weekend, where does it sit in the season? But when you think that the top three attendances have been at Newcastle, the obvious thing to do, I think, is to move it from Newcastle on the basis of that alone.
Ah, well. Richard, did you have a good weekend? Because at least you got some sleep.
Yeah, I got some sleep. That was good.
Cheers. Yeah,
sleep, thanks. Unfortunately, my eyes are now trained where to look and where not to look, which is
one of the it's a skill of rooming with Scully. You know, that is what you're doing.
Dropped the ball.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Not for the first time.
But
rooming with Scully is a traumatic experience, isn't it? I speak sadly from experience.
I can see why he was made Great Britain captain, so he got his own room. So I think the other players complaining.
Did they all vote for him?
So they could.
No, they said, lads, only one of you can have your own room. Scully.
They could play about my own room. He was a teammate. I didn't even want him. Don't worry about that. But that's another story, I guess.
Good weekend had by all. And we saw, of course, Saturday morning, Gary, the power of social media. Have you heard about this, Phil? Where rumours were circulating in our hotel, from Wakefield fans, actually, so that might have something to do with it, that Gary Schofield was seen drunk and stumbling around the hotel on Friday night.
His words were, Mark, absolutely hammered and stumbling all over the place.
And this is on social media.
Have you got a doppelganger?
Well, and do you know what? Do you know what as well? Because I took Richard Shaw right. This is the true fact here. I took Richard Shaw right. We left for Newcastle on Friday. It was about 12:15, so we got there nice and early, about 2:15. Checked in the hotel.
Bar was open.
Had a bit of, well, tried to get a bit of a kip, but that didn't work. So we went for a bite to eat about 4:30, 4:45, bite to eat. Got myself a nice, a mixed grill. Richard got himself a bit of chicken.
All right, yeah, come on, get to the point.
No, but yeah, the point is, I had one pint at tea time, and then yourself and your good lady joined...
Of creme de menthe.
Yourself and your good lady joined us, so then, as I say, you had a bite to eat, and then in your company for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, was it?
Yeah.
I had another two pints of Tetleys. Right, so I had three pints. So I walks out at 10 to 10, leaving yourself and your good lady and Richard Shaw right at the table. You know, just to have a bit of a chat. I was hoping to get to sleep before Richard, before he started all his snoring. And as I walk out, I see some Wakefield fans are going into town. You have a good night yet. Hopefully, I'll see you around tomorrow. And then I gets ready to go to the game 11:15. All of a sudden, these two Wakefield fans have stood outside the Brewery Fair where he was at the Premier League and said, "Oh, Scott, you were nice last night, weren't you?" I went, "Sorry? You were nice last night. You were absolutely hammered and you were stumbling all over the place." I said, I don't think so. I had three pints." "Oh, no, you didn't. Our mate, so you were stumbling all over." I went, "All right, where is he?" He went, "Oh, he's in here." I went, "All right, let's have a word then." So I just quite nicely and, I would say very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very patiently just say, hey up, mate, what's this all about? I remember last night. Well, you were? I said, "I don't think so." I said, "I had three pints." "Oh, we weren't out talking to you before you went to bed last night." So I said, "Yeah, I know it was you, yeah." "Yeah." I said, "I wasn't, absolutely." I said, "I had three pints." He said, "Well, you had your flip-flops on, and you looked as though you were stumbling. So because I had flip-flops on, did he think I was absolutely hammered out of it?" "Well, I had three pints."
"Yeah."
But what he did, he put it on Facebook and told everybody that I was absolutely hammered and smashed.
See, what goes on Torscoit is all over Facebook these days. Times have changed, mate. Not like before.
The word I was looking for, the words I was saying to him, I was being quite conservative with him. Rather than ripping in and saying, "What the..." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was quite conservative. And do you know what the great thing about it? We had a picture taken, put it on his Facebook, and bingo.
Said he's at it, he's on it again, he's back on it, look, already. 11 o'clock in the morning, he's on the sauce.
The next thing, he's on the big screen while Stefan Ratchford's taking a cup.
Oh, yes, yes, and that brings us nicely on to our caption winner. Look, there were some great entries last week.
And this is what the winner gets?
Yeah.
Where do I hold it, Rich?
Yeah, there you go, they can see it, there are people watching on Facebook.
Signed ball by the legend. And are we giving the programme, or...?
No, we're holding back.
It's a nice ball, then. If you, you know, get a bit of a scrub in, you can get it clean again. You can, play out with it. It's good.
There you go. We had a lot of entries last week in our caption competition. And I, you know what, I am regretting on Saturday night, Scoey and yourself, Richard, were in the bar with Nigel Wood. And he gave us a bit of a Scarborough warning to Scoey and I to
I give him a Scarborough warning. Tell that Wayne Bennett I don't want any more Australians in that England side. I gave him a Scarborough warning, don't worry about that.
So he warns that we should have got a picture of that and we opened that up for captions. But last week we put up, or Sid, I think, sent in the picture of you in your shorts and opened it up for captions. Well, I've got to be honest, Sid has won. Not for the initial picture, but for many, many very funny answers. Probably 95% of which legally I can't publicise, but they were very, very good. So well, Sid is the winner, so Sid will get a signed ball.
There's a ball coming your way by the legend.
And also winning a signed ball, you had a competition, Rich, for the number of points scored at the weekend.
I think it was 274. I've done the maths anyway, and whoever was closest we would give a prize to, and when I scroll down and find it, I will tell you that the winner, it was about 30 out, which wasn't too bad, 20 out, Ross Hardy. So Ross, I've tweeted you, sent us your details, and we'll get the ball to you in the post.
We will indeed.
Mark, also as well, before we go on to the games and we talk about it, can I just reply here? Because let me just, as I say, and if I don't say it every week, I'm not so far off, when I say, listen, to every supporter, whoever you support, whether it's Widnes, whether it's Workington, whether it's Barrow, whether it's Leeds, whether it's Wakefield, listen, I don't pick on you and make things up. I tell it as it is. I simply tell it as it is, right? And for Mr. B. Hamlin, for Widnes, literally to say that all I am is just literally criticising Widnes, I'm anti-Widnes. No, I'm not.
Why don't you just sign him a copy of the league table and post it back to him?
Well, there's your answer, isn't it? So, listen, Mr. Hamlin, no, I'm not. I tell it as it is, I see it as it is, and if you don't like it, well, that's your problem. But what I just want to reply is, Mr. Hamlin, is what you say here at the end of your letter in the League Express, and just to finish off, it just says, Mr. Schofield should use a bit of common sense for once in his life. Well, to be honest with you, Mr. Hamlin, I only have common sense because I'm a Bilal lad. I didn't do very well at school. I didn't have all the O-levels, A-levels, whatever you want to call it, but I do have common sense. And also, for once in his life, he also needs to improve his own performance because as a rugby league correspondent and pundit, he isn't very good. Well, the feedback...
Well,
as
a tipster, you're not very good. Well, I'll agree with Mr. Hamlin on that.
The response what I get from people is quite positive, to be honest with you. And also,
well, the response you get from teams that you criticise is quite positive. Yes,
also, he says, he wasn't very good when he had a stint as a coach either. Well, to be honest with you, Huddersfield... I'm not going into stats. Huddersfield, exactly, you know, like some coaches get the sack, my players were rubbish. It was as simple as that. And at Barrow, I got the sack because I wanted to discipline players and the chairman disciplined me by giving me the sack. And then he says...
Have you got Des Johnson's number? I might get him to record you a message and we'll get you sacked again.
He says, before he criticises others, he should get his own house in order. But also as well, he's saying I'm a rubbish correspondent and as a rubbish coach, I don't hear anything about being a rubbish player. Mm. Why has he mentioned that? Why isn't he mentioned that? I won't. Eh? Mr. Hamlin, I am not a critic of Widnes Rugby League Club. As Mark Wilson has just said, look at the league table, the proof's in the pudding.
Richard, off record, will you stop sending letters into the register?
You keep printing them, even though I keep putting all these different names on you so far.
There's another one about the Labour Party, what I was saying. This guy here, John Vaughan from Ilkley. That aside, I suspect Garrett is essentially a Labour supporter. I don't think so. Mr. Vaughan.
We're not politics. No, we don't do politics. We talk not rugby. We get into trouble for that enough, let alone before we let you loose on politics.
Listen, fellas, listen. We've known each other long enough now, and everybody has known what I say.
Before you go any further, I agree with Mr. Hamlin.
I tell it as it is. I don't make things up. At this moment in time, Mr. Hamlin, witness a rubbish.
You can't even get his name right.
Mr. Hamlin, the situation is witness are rubbish. There you go.
That's 2 points for witness in their next game.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're going to get stuck in to Catalan shortly because, Richard, they've lost their coach today.
Now, we're all sad about that because we all like Laurent Fresneau. Oh, we all like saying his name.
Terrific eyebrows.
And he looked very sad, didn't he, in the press?
Yeah, I said to you, didn't I, when he came in, he looked a haunted man. He didn't already know.
Well, I think he knew as soon as he saw the league table and that Catalan had dropped into the bottom four that... Bernard would have the meat cleaver.
Huddersfield, the coach killers, are at Wakefield on Friday, Rich.
Hey, listen, Mr. Fredin, you knew he was getting the sack, right? When Luke Walsh passed that ball to that Inu, and that Inu passed that ball over the sideline, he knew then he were getting the sack. Them players at Catalans, hold your head in shame. You are absolutely disgraceful to that club. You're disgraceful to the shirt.
Hold on, 7 o'clock. You've got to hold it in, Gary. Hold it in.
Pace yourself.
Overseas players again. I mean, overseas players again. Letting a club down. Overseas players again. Overrated Australians.
Catalans overrated overseas.
New Zealanders. Fredding you now, paying the price. Do me a favour, Catalan's players.
We said before, you know, Kieran Cunningham got the sack at Saints, left, whatever. There are only so many jobs out there for coaches in Super League, in rugby league in general.
So Kieran Cunningham's the next Catalan coach.
But what happens next to Laurent Fresneau? I mean, he can speak English, which is good, but where does he go from here?
Where do Catalan go for their next coach, seriously? Who do you reckon are the candidates before the bookies actually... Unless they already
have. To be honest with you, I don't think... What they've got to do, they've got to change the philosophy on the type of players they want to sign.
But bearing in mind that they've dropped into the bottom four, who are they going to get to get them out of the trouble they're in at the moment?
They can't keep signing luxury players.
But they're not signing anybody again for the rest of this season.
Well, I'll tell you what, they need to sign some more players this season because at the end of the day, here now, and we're not into round 14, and in the bottom four, right, this Catalan side and these players... They've got the factor six on already. They couldn't care less about the club.
Under a salary cap sport, you can't just sign new players. So assuming that they've got
Phil, on paper, should they be the bottom four?
No, absolutely not.
Should they be on the bottom four?
So who do they get in?
As a coach?
To Motadu or Justin Holbrook, as it's now called.
I'll tell them. I'll get responsible because I'll tell them how rubbish they are.
And in if they French. And if that'll they work. That'll work.
And if they want to keep performing like that, I'll tell you what, they won't play again. I'll get players who want to play for that club and put the shirt on. That's what I'll do. Did you see that pass from Luke Walsh and to Inu and the way you just threw it out on the sideline? That's not good enough, is it?
Inu's pass was a shocker.
Well, what about Luke Walsh?
But he should have just taken the ball and taken the tackle to then try and get rid of it in his own quarter. When they're holding on to a narrow lead. That cost, well, it didn't cost them the game. One incident doesn't necessarily cost you the game. It put them under pressure they couldn't recover from.
A huge weekend.
So anyway, Stacey Jones, I'd throw into the mix.
Yeah.
Because Alex Chan is the general manager. So I think they could go back and get Stacey Jones, who's on the staff at the Warriors, who aren't doing particularly well at the moment. Stacey may relish it. Jeff Toovey's
a Bradford cut. Oh no, he's not.
He's on holiday, isn't he? Where better than the south of France?
He is the longest holiday maker ever to go to Bradford.
What about Sylvain Houle, who's doing a fantastic job at Toulouse?
Like a job swap.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That you, Richard, quite rightly says, where does Laurent go next? Well, Mr. Houle is making a name for himself.
Isn't he? What about an Englishman? I'd like to sling a name because he's doing a great job at Barrow. Paul Cleary.
Can he speak French?
No, why does he want to speak French? They're all Australians and New Zealanders, aren't they?
Are you his agent?
No, no, but he's a good quality English coach, is Paul Cleary.
What about Mick Potter returning?
Maybe.
No, why would he want to go to Catalan?
Because he had success there and he knows the culture and he knows the chairman.
What about Francis Cummins?
Could go with him.
And what about Paul Cook? Hey, why not take an English coach? Because they're not Frenchmen, they don't need to learn French.
I think there is
all overrated Australians and Kiwis.
There is an identity issue with Catalan over the last two or three years, which may not be anything to do with the coach. It might be to do with the board of directors.
And the players who they sign.
What do they actually want? Do they want young French talent that might take a little bit of time to mature? Well, it can't be any worse on a league table than they are at the moment. Or do they want to bring in big-name Australian and New Zealand players who have to be managed a little differently?
Pack that in. Heavy breathing.
I've got to breathe to survive.
Well,
some would argue.
So I'm just saying the issue at Castellan may be about where they want their club to be.
Mm. Oh, Phil, where do they want to be?
I don't know.
Top four.
They're miles off. There's some of them players there nobody wants.
It wasn't that long ago. They were a couple of games away from getting to Old Trafford, and we were saying, wouldn't it be interesting if how we sell that game? But
yeah, and the RFL were like that. Hallelujah, that got there because we've had a crowd.
But that wasn't that long ago, and they're a long way from that at the moment. And is that because they've changed the whole philosophy of who they want to play for the club?
Okay, let's have a look at social media. RL on RY. You can get in touch on the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page.
Bonkers already. Busy. Joanne from Featherstone, not buying Scoia Burger. No. Well, she'll be there on Saturday.
Yeah.
At Blackpool.
Try and get you a stick of rock and hopefully beat you.
Joanne, listen, darling. Listen, darling, the opportunity's gone. You've had three chances. You've gone, darling.
Hang on, I can hear the cheers from Featherstone as we speak.
Yeah.
Apparently, Sylvain Houlez can't coach full time. He's got his Rockfort sheep milk farm to look after.
Yeah, but if Bernard becomes his major supplier, there'll be no problem.
That's the news from Catalan. Difference of opinion from Widnes fans.
All right.
Con says, to be fair, Scottish comments on Widnes last week were cliché nonsense.
Oh Con. But that's harsh. You should listen. This is it. Look, if you judge Scoy's opinions by what you read on the paper, right, you need to temper that by the insane ranting that he has on this show, and then you get somewhere in the middle. I think that's fair, isn't it, Gary? I think you call him, you're probably a little bit fairer than you should be. I think you should just get stuck in like you do on here.
For balance.
Paul, we're the other end of the scale.
As a Widnes fan, I think Scoia's my old team Widnes are rubbish. We're much worse than that. And John says, apologies, Gary, from Widnesian. Widnes person.
Yeah.
Would rather listen to someone who wears their views rather than someone who sits on the fence. Carry on regardless.
There you go. Social media in a nutshell, Gary. Some love you, some don't like you, some don't care.
Listen, fellas, we've been working together on what now, 4 years, haven't we? And I am what I am, I won't change, and I only keep commenting on what I see. And if you're good, you'll be told you're good. But if you're rubbish, you are certainly going to be told you're rubbish. And at this moment
a week later, you'll win 45.
And at this moment... A bit harsh, Phil Kaplan.
Go on, Phil.
If you mention that again, I might just throw an Albert Kelly in for you with Justin Carney.
I'm sorry,
I might just throw in the coach of Vulky Sarova signing Justin Carney.
I'm sorry, Castleford, he's just signed the warrant for Friday. Get your money on witness.
That's all I can do. I can only judge on what I see. I don't make things up, fans. Whether you watch Witness or whether you watch Leeds and Cass or whatever, you know, Wakefield, I can only judge on what I see. You know, and I'm not being biased towards anybody. I'm not being over-criticised of a team. You know, but, like I say, I can just comment on what I see. And I think you Witness fans, with what you are seeing this year, surely, I'll ask you Witness fans, you've got to be disappointed in what you're seeing. Surely, Mark.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So is there anything,
they are now,
but Mark,
as James Webster would say, concentrating on the middle legs.
Yeah, but is there anything wrong in what I'm saying?
No. Stop being so defensive.
I'm not trying to be defensive. I'm trying to, as I said, and that gentleman there, Mr. Hamlin, in my in the letter, the column, Mark, I'm trying to make some common sense here. I'm trying to explain common sense. There's a Belial lad at times who is quite intelligent with common sense, and that's what I'm saying.
No, you lost me there. Belial and common sense in the same. I lost you. I zoned out. What else is going on?
Another one on Catalina. Andrew Morrison's done Glenn Morrison's hat into the ring. Obviously, he's out of work at the moment.
Yes.
Mostly out of work.
He's at Office of Rovers doing some defence work, by all accounts.
A few people saying, yes, keep it in Newcastle. That is a popular opinion. Now it says, Scottie Sutton more points than Hull FC scored points at Magic Week.
Well, to be fair, Rich, you sucked more points than your teetotal.
I know, Hull City scored more points than Hull FC this week, and they're rubbish. So yeah. It was not a good week.
Rich, get your own sense.
We did witness, actually, Richard Shaw writing a drunken stupor, didn't we?
Really?
On Saturday night. Oh.
That Scully? Should have been on social media.
I was tired. It was a long day. That
we actually thought he'd frozen, didn't we? We thought someone had brought in from the Madame Tussauds at Newcastle a Richard Shaw Wright impersonator, and he was just like sat there. He didn't move for 3 hours.
To be honest, I thought you had frozen because you've never moved to when we all time ago to bar. Were you frozen?
Actually, you're right.
You were frozen because you never went to the bar. You must have been frozen.
Would this
at that
be
spot.
The free bar?
This is when we went over the road with a party of 8 people, and Muggins here bought a round, yeah? And then our Australian friends bought a round, and then when it was Scully's round, he didn't have any money.
Well, he wouldn't
so
in Australia.
So I bought Scully's round, and then we went out and got some food, and I bought Scully's food, and then Richard paid for Scully to get a taxi home. So, Mr. Schofield.
Been a good weekend by the sound
I think. You want to be going down to the cash point downstairs and reimbursing, said Mr. Shawright and myself. You're the world's worst tourist.
I was sharing your chicken and chips, and by the way...
I got you your own plate full.
I was sharing your chicken and chips.
Oh, sorry, you're right. So you owe me for yours and half of mine as well.
And your good ladies. And on Saturday, it does prove that the Australians had the respect for the legend with Steve Gillis, the man, and Clint Scovel. I'm not going to miss anything from there, but yeah. They enjoyed the company of the legend, and they bought me a few complimentary drinks.
They buy as many as I did, I'll tell you.
Oh, you bought me a pint. You went to the bar once, Mr. Wilson. Is that correct?
Is it true that they thought you were Wally Lewis?
No, they said he's a Wally.
The Wally Lewis of Great Britain, would believe this. Is.
Oh, they did as well. Cringeworthy.
Sorry, Mark, what did they say?
Cringeworthy.
What did they say?
They said how can I put this? Yeah.
And hopefully Phil, Steve Gillis, he looks after the legend himself in Laurie Daly. He's heading up the TV punditry for the Channel 7 in Australia, and hopefully the legend's out there. He might be...
What's my percentage against story? Because I made the introduction.
You get chicken and chips. chicken and chips.
387 times?
Chicken and chips and a schooner, so hopefully there may be some TV work out there, working with the legend himself and Mr. Laurie Daly. Had some good battles with Lozzo.
Bear in mind that you'll probably be banned from the England dressing room. That's a good substitute.
I couldn't care less. Yeah. Not with Darryl Powell takes over, I won't be.
When Nigel puts the word in...
Yeah. Not when Daryl Powell takes over, I won't be.
Yeah. Brisbane second in the NRL at the moment.
So what?
Just saying, they've got a decent coach.
No, Phil, it's never in doubt that Wayne Bennett is a quality coach. But he's not English, and he's picking Australians. That's why Daryl Powell should be the England coach.
Bit more on Witness.
Change the subject.
Well, I know. Carter says on Sky he's quite about... Dennis Best not on his best 13. I'm sure he does, but he can't pick them all because they're all injured. Everyone's got injuries, but Witness's squad is not very good.
No, it's not.
It hasn't been very good from the ground.
Or deep
enough. Can I just say this as well? The Sam Rankin chase, OK? And what I saw on Saturday... All right, Dennis has said in the League Express that he had, what, 2 sessions or 2 hours with the squad this week. But what I saw on Saturday is that Rangi, he was thinking 3, 4, 5 seconds before any of the teammates around him. And I just don't think that Rangi will be a fit for that with the side for what they want. You know, Rangi really is not really a main organiser, you know, like a Luke Gayle or you would say maybe say like a Kevin Brown or something like that or, you know, another quality halfback. We could look like a Mike Smith or this sort of thing or a George Williams, you know, and Rangi's thinking far too much, far quicker than the Widders players around him. And I think and no disrespect to the Widners side, what they've got this moment in time, but I just feel as though Rangi's too good for Widners. Does that make sense? You know, as an individual player.
Was it Ben Jones-Bishop was on his wavelength, wasn't he, when he intercepted that pass? He knew where it was going.
Interesting that Rangi goes to Cass, though, this week.
He's not allowed to play.
Huh? Why?
Well, interesting that he goes.
He's not allowed to play. No. It was in the thing. He's not allowed to play.
Why not?
Because he's on loan from Castleford. He's not allowed to play.
Interesting.
Mm. All right with you?
We'll be all right with Dennis Betts.
Well, he's got two choices. Don't sign him, then.
The good thing is that the Chapel Howe twins have committed to Widners.
Yes, that's
good. It has been a club that players have seemingly wanted to get away from. So you compare them to Wakefield, who are signing up mid-season, their star names. There's a camaraderie and a core about what Wakefield are doing that is going to take them into the next couple of years. Widners have already, as we know, lost Kevin Brown at the start of the season. Matt Whitley, apparently, is on his way at the end of this season.
Right.
He's going to go to a bigger club, though, isn't he?
Rumoured to be St Helens.
Okay, fair enough.
I tell you what the silence for players says, but I tell you what, when you look at that Widners side, that young Chamberlain was all right in the centre, young Ince was all right in the centre.
But again, Ince has been...
Hanbury was all right at full-back.
Ince has been at Huntsdale, hasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah, he's signed he's a been new on deal on as well, I think, last
he
week.
Looked if there was one saving grace for Widners, I think it's the way Ryan Ince played.
Mm. I like Chamberlain as well, the centre. I thought he did a good... That creativity, what he did on the right-hand side.
Too many youngsters in together. When your team's struggling.
Yeah, but Phil, at the end of the day, though, if you've no choice, just sling them in. Give them the experience, all right, if they do get, you know, a few points against them and they do look a little bit exposed, well, that's going to be good for their experience,
well,
isn't it?
Well, they've got 9 games to build for the qualifiers.
Absolutely, that's where they're going to be, you know, so why not build for that now? You know, sling them in there, let them get the confidence and that belief
but they won't
that
get
they're
the
good enough to play week in and week out.
If they lose every week, that's the only problem.
Just a bit of breaking news
Rich. Well, Bridget Facebooked us earlier saying, what about York City Knights playing on Friday and they won away at Newcastle, and League Express reporting that their coach Mick Mantelli has been sacked from Newcastle for the day for them.
There's a nice article in the paper today saying how they're building for the future and there's no time scale on getting into Super League.
They're not even in the top eight though at the moment, are they?
Well, Newcastle have sacked the coach.
Yeah.
Who was an Aussie?
That might be a job for you, that Scully. Get your CV in quick. Yeah. What can he do?
On that news that Phil referred to there, Stephen says, liked interviews and new deals for Jacob Miller and David Fifita. I enjoyed the quotes in the League Express on the League Express website today from David Fifita. I was about to sign with another club, he says, but then Wakefield came in with more money, so it was all right. So fans seem to have ignored that bit of the quote. He was going to leave, but he stayed, so it's all right.
Yeah, but he had options. Well, options, and I think Wakefield have done well to sign him.
I've got no problem with players leaving, going elsewhere or whatever, but don't hold these people up as, oh, look, he's a man of Wakefield. They're all the same.
It's
just because he's
their job.
His badge.
It's their job.
And crowd surfs and acts like a Burke. It's their job.
David, if you're listening, that was Richard Shaw, right? Not Scotty.
I'll tell you what,
he 4-1, but you know.
You wouldn't have been bothered then, would you, mercenary?
He certainly enjoyed it jumping into the crowd, didn't he, after the game? He got his Man of the Match award, and then he went to the fans, and then they say, pumping the badge and all this. And then, literally, he went about 30 stories up into the crowd behind the post with all the crowd or whatever.
It's just the double standards I don't like from supporters. That, you know, happy to vilify one person, but.
To be fair to Mr. Carter, who has done these re signings, he's also signed Ben Barber. He's offered him his name on a bus. A flat above the rooftop garden. There's many
players.
Well,
what I'll say, you wait for your fans as well. Listen, Michael Carter's done what he said. He's doing a great job. Chris Chester has got you the good side. Your players are playing very, very attractive rugby. So you Wakefield fancy now. Get yourself down to Bellevue. Michael Carr's asking. He wants 5,500, 6,000 people down there. There's no stopping you going down there now. Don't be blaming the ground and what have you, because at the end of the day, it's all what goes on that piece of turf. And Wakefield at this moment in time, very attractive rugby league side. The players want to play for the club, and Chris Chester and Michael Carter are doing a great job. A
couple of great entertainers on the wings as well, which is what we love to see.
Yes, I certainly do.
On Jacob Miller's deal, do you think it was just it's the right place for him at this stage?
Of course it is, absolutely.
Rather than potentially move on to a bigger club, which is growing.
And the same as Safita as well, because if they go to the bigger club, you know, they wouldn't enjoy the environment, they wouldn't enjoy the dressing room, because as we all know, even here, in the studio here, we've all got our own individual egos, haven't we? Do you know what I mean? Some are a little bit bigger than others, some are a bit smaller than others, but we've all got our own sort of ego, haven't we? And that's what you get in dressing rooms. So would they fit into the egos of, let's just say, if it was Warrington or St Helens or Leeds chasing them? No, they wouldn't. Look what happened to Tim Smith when he left Wakefield and went to Wigan. It didn't fit in there.
You can't imagine a character like David Fafita necessarily fitting into Brian McDermott's dressing room, can you?
Well, I don't know why. Well, would he fit into a Wigan dressing room with that, you know, with that philosophy? Well, Tautai seems to do a little bit, but what I'm saying is here, go where you're comfortable with, you know, and I say
that's important for a halfback as well, where it's your team. So.
I agree, and it's like with Ben Jones Bishop now, you know, Jonesy, you've had the taste when you went to Salford, you've had that sort of, you know, dressing room where nobody cares less and it's all egos in there. Listen, mate, if Michael's offering you realistically what you're looking for, sign for Wakefield, because I tell you what, mate, you are playing some very, very good and quality rugby league. That would be my advice to Ben Jones. And I'll tell you, at this moment in time, we're 14 games into the season, and now we've changed his nickname from Slug to Snail, because while we was in Newcastle, we was doing some investigation, which is the slowest animal or what a creature what is in the world, and Liam, now we change your name from the Slug to Snail. So Liam the Snail Finn, I'll tell you what, for mine, the way he's playing, as I've said before and I'll say it again, he's so quick between the ears, that is not an issue. But at this moment in time, I would have Liam Finn certainly in the top five for the Man of Steel. He's playing outstanding rugby league.
Wow.
To work within the budget that they have, which is probably lower than many clubs, to be worth
it's on a par with our budget, yeah. Which is why we've got Scully.
And Chris Chester is saying, maybe for the top four?
Hey, what do you reckon to that, Rich?
I'm booking my hotel at Old Trafford.
From the middle eights to the top four in 2 years.
I'm getting some cardboard, I'm going to make my tinfoil Super League trophy, I'm going to be there holding it up. Wearing me colours, not in the press box, you're not allowed.
I'll tell you what, though, we'll be for sure here now.
Have you got the buses?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what as well.
He might need them on Monday.
Let's draw this back in a touch here now, because let's go back early in the season, I guess, when Wakefield were doing okay, and then they went to Huddersfield, for 65 minutes, they were outstanding. And then what they did, they just seemed to, well, we said it ourselves, and I think Michael Carter said it as well, they seemed to fall in love with themselves. You know, let's hope now they've learned that lesson. They're not going to get into that sort of category again. Well, yeah, okay, then we're giving it to, you know, Billy Big Boys. And I say, we're falling away ourselves. Keep going as you are doing, fellas. You get Chris Chester's getting a great response from you. The dressing room's all happy. And just keep doing what you're doing. Because I tell you, at this moment in time, they are a quality side.
I think John Keir's had a big influence behind the scenes. I think he is a real aid for Chris Chester. I also think that we're coming up to this double weekend, which is going to be a defining one. After this, there'll only be 7 games left before the split. You look at who Wakefield are playing. They've got this game against Huddersfield where they can put right what you've just said they did wrong, and then they go to Wigan.
They won't be frightened going to Wigan.
It's a big test, isn't it? It's a big test.
But this is almost a defining weekend as to whether Wakefield genuinely are top four contenders. And who's to say that they won't be?
Who would have thought we'd have been saying that? Who would have thought it?
Only bonkers people.
Exactly. Do you think they can do it?
Probably not, because I think.
Doom and gloom, man.
I'm not saying they won't, but you look at the table. Castleford, they're going to finish top at the moment, aren't they? Salford played well again yesterday, and that Challenge Cup quarterfinal is going to be a hell of a game between the two.
Got to meet as well in the cup, in the league, so there's some big games coming up.
Hull are the interesting one, aren't they? Because, and I'm sure we're going to get on to this, we don't know what is Hull. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, that strip of the weekend was awful, wasn't it? That Hulk strip. It was absolutely awful.
I don't mind the Hulk strip, but what are the purple shorts?
That's something you wear.
It was awful. Absolute awful. I've got a pair of Speedos purple ones. Tell you what.
Leeds.
I'll tell you what, and they won't be as tight as them shorts you had on that picture with Ikram Butt.
As we saw yesterday, Leeds played well.
Hey, hold on, Rich. I'll tell you what, when I've got my speedos on, can you remember Daniel Craig on James Bond coming out of the ocean? That's what the legend looks like. I'll tell you what.
In his mind, yeah.
This leads us back to another tale of the weekend when you got locked out of your room. And that lovely young Irish lady came past.
Hold on, what goes on tour stays on tour.
Well, yeah, but
you're traumatised, aren't
you? What I'm trying to do is firm up your alibi, because I could see she'd be making some kind, you're an outrage. You just are. We know how to take you. People out there, they who've never met you before.
I'm an entertainer.
Yeah, I don't think that's the word they use for in court.
I'm an entertainer, I'm a character. I'm an entertainer, character.
Yeah, you're a character, yeah. What a dubious character, I think the judge would say.
It's a bit harsh.
Honestly. She didn't know where to put herself. The corridor. Well,
she didn't know where to put herself.
And the corridor was like 4 foot wide, and Scully's taking up 3.5 feet of it. And she's like, oh my, what am I going to do here?
As I said to this young lady, and as I say, she was quite a pretty young lady too. It's not often she will see an Adonis in a Premier Inn in Newcastle.
You know what, Phil? That is exactly what he said as well.
Not often you see an Adonis.
Shameless. We're going to start calling you Frank Gallagher. Because you are shameless. You're a disgrace.
When Wigan get all their players back as well, because they've got about 400 players out through injury, when they all come back, they've got as many players out.
We might send you to Wigan on Monday. Listen to interview Sean Way.
I'm in Blackpool. When Wigan's
chicken,
Wigan have got.
You
more,
could call in on the way back.
Wigan have got more players out injured than Hulk Hour taking his fans to the Summer Bash this weekend. When Wigan get all those players back,
he's ripping in.
He's going to take the early guilty plea and miss next week.
Wigan are the defending champions. They're probably better than Wakefield when everyone's fit. So Wakefield might just miss out. They might make it. We'll see. But I tell you what, it's better to be saying, oh, will we finish fourth, will we finish fifth, will we finish sixth, than ninth, tenth, 11th.
Oh. Tell you what, though, Rich, this isn't all serious. Obviously, newly rejuvenated St Helens take on Wigan on Thursday. There could be a 4-point gap between Wakefield and Wigan. There could be. You never know. Anyone else who's got any social media accusations about Gary's whereabouts at the weekend, please send them in. At RL on RY.
Address it to the Adonis. Not the legend anymore, it's the Adonis.
Care of Bridewell.
Again, there's some brilliant social media things, not necessarily about SCOE, not broadcastable. So again, thank you very much for all that.
No, keep them coming in. We love them. It does add to the show.
I should talk about this, because a lot of people have mentioned this, and I noticed it at the time. I wasn't sure what I saw. But now other people have mentioned it. We can talk about it, which was what thoughts. This is Nathan, who's the last person to mention it. Thoughts about the boot throwing incident in the Wigan Warrington game. I saw something flying to the crowd, and I wasn't sure what happened.
I thought it was a bottle.
I thought it was some. I didn't know what it was, but I saw something being thrown.
It got hurled in the far corner as we were looking. Is that right? Was it a boot? Mm. So one of the Warrington players' boots come off, and the Wigan player chucked it in the crowd.
Yes, somebody whose initials are FPN, I think, may have picked it up and...
Yeah, he did chuck it as well.
So a few people have mentioned
well,
that.
Well, there was a complaint by said Warrington player to the referee that had happened.
Yeah. Did he get his boot back? Who was it who lost his boot? I remember it happening, but I was commenting on the game.
Jack Hughes was remonstrating whether it was his boot.
Because I've seen that before, where they chuck it 50 yards down the field.
This was in Rose Ed.
Yeah, I saw it go in the crowd, but I presumed it was a bottle that had come on the pitch or something.
I don't know, so I can't comment.
It was an odd one, because it was...
Have we had the disciplinary yet?
We have.
Can you be charged with throwing a boot into the crowd?
I guess that would be...
Contrary conduct.
Well, only two players have been cited. No prizes for Adam Hickson, everybody.
What grade?
Grade E, high tackle, no EGP, but good news for Adam is he is headlining the next WWE pay-per-view fighting John Cena.
I tell you what, do you know the high tackle, by the time it come down, Chris Weller, we've been suffering from turbulence.
Was it O'Brien, wasn't it? Was it O'Brien he cleaned out?
No, Wellham, wasn't it?
Mm. I thought it was O'Brien.
Maybe two.
No, I think I think it was Wellingberg. By the time he came down, he complained of turbulence, didn't he? He finished up that high. What a beauty. He didn't miss
it. You know what the only criticism I have of it was a shocker. It is like a batsman who's just nicked one to first. He should have just walked off.
Yeah.
The fact that he stayed and argued.
And that's the referee. You're sending me off.
It was an accident.
What for? You're sending me off.
About 6 weeks, mate. Get yourself off.
It was a peach, wasn't it?
No, he didn't miss, did he? No. I mean, we're all laughing. I mean, the player is, thankfully, he's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, what a still that is.
It was an O'Brien.
The still picture of that. When
horizontal.
It was a beauty, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who else has been charged?
Oh, the other one was Greg Bird for standing on someone.
What is this? The latest fashion? Is it standing on opponents? Aston Sims got banned in last week for
he's
that.
He's got an EGP, so that's all right. Gary Carter's point, it was Ben Julian's boot.
Very good.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting times the Magic weekend. Lots of people still. Saying it should be in Newcastle. Just needs to have more riding on it, like a Super 8s or Middle 8s game, adding two more games, such as four championship teams, and make the Manchester Finals Day £1 million game, then grand final. I don't think they'd be happy about using the pitch twice.
But I am of the opinion that that's the way we need to go. Cup semi-finals, we moan we don't get any fans going to watch. If you know what day they're going to be on in advance...
Man, go to Newcastle. Newcastle. They'd all go to Newcastle. It's only 2 hours up the road.
Speaking to the stewards is quite enlightening, because I think they have a vision of what Magic Weekend is going to be like, because they base their experience on football and the things that they're told to look out for and incidents they think they may have to police. They are now getting to the point where they're actually coming up to people like journalists saying, this is great. Could we just tell you how great it is? This is the weekend we look forward to more than any other. Oh, why? Which team? Oh, no, we don't watch any games. We just love the interaction with the crowd. It's just a fabulous day for us to meet all of these different groups of fans that, to all intents and purposes, all get on. They all have their rivalries, but the stewards cannot get over it. Well, that's got to be a selling point.
Yeah.
And almost
well, it's a good message, isn't it?
Well, let's look at the figures. I think 65,000 is probably three or 4,000 more than the RFL were expecting. There were some bizarre words of doom and gloom before the weekend.
We were told on Monday to expect 60.
Yeah.
Was the target line.
So that now the top three Magic attendances have all been at Newcastle in the last 3 years. This year's attendance of 65,000, you have to factor in it wasn't the bank holiday weekend, which it has been, which again affects it. There was no Hull derby, which would have accounted for probably at least another 5,000 fans.
Yeah.
For some strange and bizarre reason, if we genuinely want this to be an event, it's going to happen again at Blackpool, even more so we don't cancel the other fixtures. So even though Championship supporting fans and League One fans may not go to Newcastle, they might, because if the word gets around that this is an event you want to be part of, that it's the community of rugby league, the family, whatever that means, coming together, then it doesn't matter if you support Bradford or Hull KR or Toulouse or Sheffield or Coventry or Hunslet or York, you might just want to be there, because this is the sport showing itself off.
Yeah.
So again, we've probably lost another 3,500 fans just by the scheduling. Well, we're over 70 then.
Yeah.
That's an event. Sell it.
Agreed.
I think everyone you spoke to who works there at the ground and has that same opinion, that it's, you know, a great event. The worrying thing for me is a lot of people thinking we won't be there next year who work there.
But what are the alternatives? If we keep a Magic weekend of some sort, and I think there is genuinely a need for a debate as to whether it's a 23rd round, because it does skew the competition, particularly when you've got the eights coming in. So if we decide what we want from Magic and it's integrated more in some way, then where else are we going to take it that has the same facility that Newcastle has, on the basis of the fact that if you don't want to watch three games, you've got a really vibrant city on your doorstep. If you do want to stay overnight and go to Saturday and Sunday, you've got everything you would need as a destination city. It's not Coventry. It's not Liverpool, on the basis of the fact that the ground is not near enough to the city centre. It's not Edinburgh. Cardiff, yes, that worked, but we went there the first week of the season, it was minus 27 the last time we went there.
Yeah.
Where, you know, London, it's not quite the same. London's such a disparate series of villages that you don't necessarily bump into all the fans when you're in London. Newcastle is the perfect destination if you want to have a party. So why would we not commit to it?
But also as well, though, Phil, right, when we look at the with the RFL now and And I say Newcastle's, well, they've been highest free attendance since we've had the Magic Weekend, so they're looking maybe take it back down to London, or they're looking at Liverpool, even looking at Leeds, and even Coventry.
Coventry holds 32,000. That instantly says this, it's what, not big enough.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is here, what sort of figures are the RFL looking for? You know, by say, you know, we won't get anywhere near that figure if we go down to London, just because
another thing
of the travel
well.
And the cost.
I understand that they are running a commercial business, and I understand,
well, we all understand that.
That the clubs want something back out of there. But if Newcastle City Council are not prepared to put as much in next year or the year after because they've got rugby union finals, then aren't we confident enough as a sport to say, but we'll take it anyway without the same level of subsidy? But if you commit to us, we'll give it to you for the next 5 years.
Mm.
So we'll, you know, you might want to give us a little less when you've got something else going on, but in the years when you haven't got anything else going on, you'll be begging for us to be there. So let's negotiate a deal for 5 years.
I agree.
Let's tell everybody that we're going to be there for the next 5 years. We don't yet know necessarily the date or the format, but let's commit to a region. And if Mick Mantelli's got sacked on the back of us having a Magic Weekend, we're not doing something right, are we?
I'll tell you what as well, another thing what would work up in Newcastle would be the Kiwis are coming over here by all accounts next year, taking an international game of league up there under lights on a Friday or a Saturday night. Yeah. It would absolutely sell out. It would be brilliant.
As Gary Carter says, if not St James's Park, what about Stadium of Light, just down the road, 40,000 capacity?
Not sure Sunderland's got the same
cachet.
Destination.
Yeah, it's actually not a bad ground, and there's quite a lot of room around it, but I'm with you.
You've got to have hotels, you've got to have access to the city.
It is the fact that
the city itself, isn't it? Newcastle.
The interesting point, people will go who necessarily aren't passionate rugby league fans to be part of that weekend.
Well, it would be interesting. I think it will be a record this weekend in terms of how long people have watched rugby for. Because normally there's always a spell where the ground clears out or...
Well, I thought it would be the first game on Sunday, but there were 10,000
people.
Well,
I were a bit worried. I mean, Scott and I were there, we did Coventry on the first game, we weren't very busy, and all of a sudden, you're looking around and it's, whoa, hang on, everyone's here. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just kept adding and adding, and the atmosphere yesterday for me, at kick-off for that Leeds Cast.
When you were driving into the ground, were there enough signs for the locals, do you think, to say there was a big event on in town? Because that's the other thing, it'd be nice to know the percentage of the crowd that are North East resident.
Well, the RFL could tell us that if they wanted to do
well,
that.
Well, they should. But I think we need to do... It's all right getting
the local
chronicle
paper in. They did advertise at the Newcastle football ground because when I was at the game, I saw the advert on the screen. It was on quite
a
lot.
When we drove in, and everybody drives in a different way and a different time, until we hit the stadium, there was no mention that there was a Magic Weekend. No banners or hanging from the Tyne Bridge.
But in fairness, I hadn't noticed that much marketing anywhere.
No.
You know?
But the supporters of each club, they know when the Magic Weekend's on, they know when the side's playing, so they'll decide if they want to stay Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and or go for the day when their team are playing, won't they? You know,
and
so
there is an issue about hotel prices, I get that, but that's the price that's you pay, isn't it? It's the same with every event.
But, we booked our hotel...
When the dates came
a long way out.
Yeah.
£60 a night.
Exactly.
For a very good
so
hotel.
So commit to 5 years, get a rough idea of when it's going to be, give fans the opportunity to further buy into this.
Mm. I think the problem is when people say we should take it, London as a potential venue, the Olympic Stadium, which is me and Phil found out last year, is a nightmare to get to from
absolutely.
The car park.
It's a 20-minute walk from the car park.
If you think the hotel prices are going to be expensive in Newcastle,
yeah.
Yeah. Roger Draper made a point when he earlier in the season when we first spoke to him, said we've got to look at things like double headers, etc. Is that where maybe we could go to other grounds?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure, and I'll use Wakefield as an example because at the minute they're not the best supported, and I'd use Salford as an example maybe. If you said to Michael Carter or Marwan Kukash, we're going to give you $150,000 but we're taking one of your home games off you, would that be a reasonable
I think we've got other product. We've had this debate before. If you have a Magic Weekend, you should also have an on-the-road weekend, and then nobody's giving away a home game, but you can't have the eights in the current format if you do that. But the other thing we have got is the Challenge Cup semi-finals, and I understand from a BBC point of view, they're trying Friday night, and it seems to be working in terms of viewers, but we've got a product there that doesn't sell out and never really has, and is only of interest to the competing teams.
Yeah.
But if we say at the beginning of the season, whoever is in the Challenge Cup semi-finals, it's being played at Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
You'll sell it out.
You get more neutrals going.
You'd sell it out.
You get more neutrals going, definitely.
Sheffield, you know, they've got two big stadiums there you could fill.
But I would use it as a promotional venue. Newcastle to get to and from Newcastle, all right, there were very few roadworks on the A1, was quicker and more enjoyable as a drive than trying to get anywhere on the M62 on a Thursday or a Friday. If you were to say, we've got a doubleheader, Challenge Cup semi-final, outside of the football season, bearing in mind that they've now finished, so you could quite easily go to Nottingham, which is a similar distance from most of the clubs that will be playing in it.
Well, it's not fans a bad city. We've got Hooters well, there as well. Gary, you'll be happy with that some, won't you?
I'll tell you what, I'll be unhappy as well next year when you book three rooms instead of two.
Okay. Why are you not coming?
Only booked two.
You ended up sleeping in your car, though, didn't you? So you don't need to book a room.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get you a tent, they had a lovely bit of grass outside. We'll get you 10.
We'll get you.
What about Leicester? What about Leicester? When I saw the football side of it, that was a good. Was not, Leicester okay?
Not sure it's a destination venue. Nottingham is a real student. I think you look where students go. I think Newcastle is a destination venue. Nottingham is.
Right. Leicester, no.
Leicester, not so much.
Right. Mm. Anyway, at the end of the day, if I'm honest, Newcastle, full stop.
Yeah, I agree.
Newcastle,
I
full
agree.
Stop. I just don't understand why they want to take it away.
I think this is the thing, is anyone who's been there would say. You know, and thank you to all the staff. They were very helpful at Newcastle United, and the RFL staff who were as brilliant as ever and make our life easier every time we go to.
But when you go into the pubs and the bars, whatever, even the doorman and all this sort of thing, you know, they're just welcoming you, you know, just to say, listen,
well,
just
on a football weekend, they are behind you up wanting to know which team you support and how much beer you
have. But isn't it about?
No, they're just saying, hey, listen, come on, lads, enjoy yourselves.
But isn't it about?
We're here to look after you.
Creating habit. We live in a world of things like TripAdvisor and reviews. So if everybody's come back from this weekend and hasn't got a bad word to say about Newcastle...
For the last 3 years, though.
Somebody who didn't go might be thinking, I'm missing out here.
Yeah.
But if you keep moving it...
But the last 3 years, everybody's been saying about Newcastle, haven't they?
Yeah. I think it's given them something to think about.
But why didn't they announce at the end of yesterday the next time we are going to be in Newcastle?
Yeah, the closing speech seemed very much, thanks, but we won't be coming back. But hopefully we're wrong. What's happening on Twitter,
we mentioned
at RL on our social media, Radio Yorkshire Facebook page?
We mentioned Salford and Lee briefly a moment ago. We weren't condoning Higgs and Sid, and you know, if it had been bad, we'd have been up. Everything's turned out all right. We're not saying it was good. But John's asked a couple of questions. Will Salford get to the top six? And he also says Ian Watson is underrated. Doesn't get the quality he deserves. Not on this programme.
Not on this programme,
fans.
John, no way. We're big fans.
They're nailed on for the top six, aren't they?
You're nailed on. We've had
the Manchester Red Devils.
I also think Willie Poaching deserves a lot of credit. Martin Gleeson. I think that's a really good coaching team.
I tell you what, Poaching and Chester, where were their coaches?
Don't know, I can't remember. Let's have a look, what else is happening?
But yeah, we are...
You want to remind me where there were coaches?
No, I'm all right, I'll move on, thanks.
The legend got it bang on with the Huddersfield Cantlands game. Wake me up when it's over, says Chris.
That's because you had a hangover, Chris, surely.
It wasn't great, was it? But it
Don't
was
matter.
Important.
Didn't have to be great for Huddersfield. That's two wins in three, the 2 points off the top eight.
What do we make of Martin Ridyard on debut?
Steady away.
Better
than Rangy Chase on his debut.
That's a fair point.
That's true.
For Huddersfield, when you look to that, quite simply, a win's a win. You know, the old adage from there, and they grounded it out for 80 minutes. When the opportunities came along, they grabbed them. Win's a win, 2 points, and they'll be looking forward. Well, they got away from Wakefield, don't they, on Friday?
Ridyard grew into the game, as the last quarter of an hour, when it needed a bit of game management. He was there.
But again, with that comment, because the situation is now, though, for Huddersfield is, if you don't keep your right combination, it's like we'll touch on Warrington in the second part of it, you know, with that combination, the pattern again was dropped. The ideal combination for Warrington, and I say, is when we're looking at the position on the field, the full-back, so Radford's a full-back, the hooker situation, you know, with Darrell Clark, but they seem to want to find a place for Gidley. But they have got to keep with Brown and Patton because they are the future, and they seem to want to find a place for Gidley. So now the situation for Huddersfield is, when Bruffy comes back after suspension, Gaskell or Ridyard will go out. So how are they building the combination where they enjoy each other's company from a point of view, they know the organisation, they know who's going to be doing what. I'll have a go for 5 minutes, I'll take a break, you have a go for 5 minutes, and exchange that responsibility. So that's an issue again for Rick Stone, what he's got to deal with.
A couple of random things. Terry, first of all, it was his first Magic weekend, he enjoyed it, easy to get in and out, which is always a...
Where's he from, Terry?
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't
Facebook.
See that.
Craig Murdoch.
Where's that? Near Newcastle?
Somewhere like that. Craig Murdoch, who is on the radio more than Niall... Harry Styles.
I've fallen out with Craig Murdoch. I've fallen out with him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Has there been a divorce?
On Sunday morning, driving in.
Oh, yes.
There was a man who...
Yes.
He didn't look very well. He was walking on the street.
And, I think if you can imagine a man who'd had about 300 pints in 2 days, not slept for a week, and had nothing to eat, he looked like that.
Slightly dishevelled.
Probably had a bath for 2 months, hadn't changed his clothes for a couple of weeks. Looks a bit like Scully, really. That's what
Murdoch says.
And where was this?
We were driving, and literally he looked at the guy and he thought, jeez, he looks rough. And Craig went, that looks like you, that's going. And we all burst into laughter. And belly laughing. And Gary just didn't like it. He started sulking, basically. Like those Catalan players, sulking.
The Doc says, wasn't Magic set up to take the game to different regions? In that case, it has to move on.
Okay.
I think we don't know what the point of Magic
is. No,
well,
that is the
that's
thing.
Fine. Well, let's take it somewhere, then, where there's no plan, no rugby league. A bit like we did when we took the World Cup to Bristol. And then we'll feel the benefits of it for years to come.
But have we completed the job in the North East? That's the question.
No.
Well, we had
so if we are taking it to new areas and we're developing it, then it's doing a job.
Well, Phil,
we haven't finished it.
Yeah, but Phil, they're not developing it because the Satley Crooks are the development officer. So how are we developing the game in Newcastle?
Well, you see the amateur clubs there, yeah. they're growing. You know, you see a crowd of over 2,000 for a League One match.
We need that development officer. But then we need the sort of ex players going into these schools. Mm. We need these kids.
We need a plan to
recognise these people who are going into them schools. They've played the game, you know, so they can become their heroes or this sort of thing. This is what we need to be doing, you know.
More amateur clubs need as Brighton Orange kit as Cramlington, so they stand out in the crowd because they're the highlight every year at the Magic Weekend. And also saw a lot of Peter Lee Pumas. Little kids running around the pitch. And the kids running around the pitch, best bit of the half-time entertainment, is it? Imagine that, you get a chance to run out at one of
which
these great sporting...
Which is why Newcastle players. Thunder, over this weekend, should play on that pitch. For the players and for the supporters.
Fair enough.
So 2,000 on a Friday night is fine, but if they'd have played in front of 15,000 on Sunday before Huddersfield and Catalan, and there'd been a local buy-in, even better.
All right. Good. No, I agree with that. We said that last week, didn't we? Right, boys, that is our number one done. Keep your interaction coming in. We're going to have the Scoey. We will let him loose. I think he might have gone too early on the Dragons, but...
to be honest with you...
It's either that or we're going to let you defend yourself over the worst prediction ever in the history of sport.
Proper Sport at 6. Want your say on all things rugby league? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8pm. Opinions welcome, but be prepared to fight your corner.
Yeah, be prepared to fight your corner indeed. It's Mark, Richard, Phil and Gary with you through until 8 o'clock. Must be, wish my mum all the best. She's recovering in hospital, not been so well. So, Mum, if you're listening, well, you better be listening, actually. There's no excuse. Got anything else
get well
to be
soon,
doing,
Mum.
Have you, have you,
get
have
well
you,
soon.
Good stuff. Now, there's been a message coming here from Ian, who says, I saw Scoey at Whitley Bay Food Bank asking for cans of Foster's. Is this true, Gary?
I was nowhere near Whitley Bay.
Well, you were, weren't you? You were near Whitley Bay.
Well, I wasn't near Whitley Bay.
We were only 3 miles away.
We stayed at Hollystone in Premier Inn, so don't be making things up.
Oh, tell everyone where we stay, why don't you?
Well, why not? We'll get people coming to Brewery Fair, buy me a pint.
Well, in fairness, you've been offered one at the weekend. Let me find this one. I think it was a Featherstone fan. Oh, here it is, David. Get to the Lifeboatman Saturday, Scoey. I'll get you a pint.
Where's that?
The Lifeboatman. I don't know where he's
Lifeboatman, okay. I'll see you there after the game Saturday night. I'm staying in Blackpool.
Very good. Terry got back to us. He's from Ponty, so he's a local lad. He's got to Newcastle for the first time. What do you reckon? What's happening on social media then?
Well, a few people talking about Ben Barber.
Oh, yeah.
Who is the latest long line of people who've done bad in Australia, who come to the Super League, the English Super League, as they like to call it, for
English...
redemption.
For redemption and to get rid of his 12-game ban.
But also as well, though, fellas, how is that going to work? He's on a 12-game ban... They haven't signed him yet, so will there be 15 games into the season? How will that
round
work?
Round four of the eight, it'll be available.
Is that what it is from there? Because I'll tell you
unless
what,
the NRL say yes. that he doesn't have to serve his ban,
right,
which is
yeah.
what Steve Mascord was talking about.
But they seem pretty keen to tell and sign him, don't they? We're listening to what Justin Holbrook is saying regarding him. But, so it looks like it could be the end of the road for Johnny Lomax and St Helens, eh? Where will Johnny Lomax go? Because you look at the Johnny, when he's fit, he's a quality player. But boy, oh boy, he gets his injuries, doesn't he? Where will he go? Who will be interested in him?
Don't know.
I think if he was fit, he'd get into most Super League teams.
Yeah, of course he would, Phil. But he's not. You know, he doesn't string 10 games together.
Maybe Warrington see him as a replacement for Gidley, who will probably retire at the end of this season.
No, Gidley. No, but Ratchford's a fullback at Warrington, is he? So you know, replacement for Gidley. Mm-hmm. How would that work?
Well, they were in for Barber as well, weren't they, Warrington? But if it seems as though he's going to St Helens, will they?
I hope Warrington learnt the lesson from Sandow with Barber. Eh?
They were in for him.
They're in for a lot of players at the moment. It seems Warrington.
Well, he's pretty certain he's coming to England.
Yes.
St Helens.
What's happened with him, Rubuni? Then with Toulon or whatever they call it. What's happened there then?
Maybe he's got bored.
I think he's retired, didn't he?
Yeah, just don't like the dark side.
Did he not play then for too long? Did he play?
Yeah, but not very much, I don't think.
Oh, right, okay, right.
But more importantly, Chris Hynington's on the market.
Yeah, so the League Express trolling us all by saying England international on the move. Ooh, who could it be? Oh, it's Chris Hynington.
It's laughable, isn't it? An Australian was 35 years of age, and we talk about
current
that.
England international.
Phil, do me a favour. And 35 years of age, and you know, all these youngsters who... who's put that picture there?
Spider Scully.
Who's that? Been seen flying around
as Newcastle. I bet they reckon I've been doing fancy dress and all in Newcastle now, do they? But and I say, why do we want to be signing 35-year-old Australians? What is Chris Hynington going to bring? What is he going to bring to anybody?
International experience.
Grand final winning experience. With two different clubs.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
If he's on the market, a Super League club will sign.
I know, because that's how daft we are, aren't we, to be honest with you. That's how daft we are. Instead of investing in the youth, where we keep going about our academies and how our game's developing and how our game is getting closer to the NRL, why do we want to sign 35-year-old Australians? I just don't understand it. I don't, honestly. I don't.
I think with promotion relegation, a lot of clubs feel that that's a better investment, for want of a better word, than waiting 3 years for your young back rower to come through.
Right, well, I'll tell you what, then. Let's just say, for instance, Wakefield signed Hynington, right? And Chris Hynington took...
James Batchelor's spot.
How would the Wakefield fans think about it? They would go, no, we don't want him. We don't want to sacrifice one of our own. Does that make sense, Rich?
But no, what about Widnes, who are bottom of the league at the moment... and might be losing Matt Whitley, who's one of the young players that they're trying to
bring,
they're a bottom of the league, and they say we'll bring in Hynington because he'll get us tonight.
I'll tell you what Hynington will be like. He'll be like that Chris Houston, past his sell-by date.
What do you reckon to Jack Buchanan?
I think he's all right. Buchanan. I don't think he's the worst.
Not for me.
All right. Okay.
No, not for me.
Who would you rather have, Jack Buchanan or Keith Galloway?
I think leaves Miss Galloway on Sunday. And Garbutt.
Interestingly, today, Leeds captain admitted that they probably didn't have enough size on the field, and yet Anthony Mullally played 15 minutes at the weekend. I thought he didn't play that, did he? That was a disgrace. But that's my personal opinion.
I like Anthony Mullally, because when he came to Wakefield on loan from Huddersfield, after Daniel Smith went to Huddersfield, and he was on his way to Leeds, so he already knew he was going there, he still played as if he was a Wakefield player, not just a player on loan seen out the end of a contract.
Very interesting backstory with him as well, the only vegan playing in Super League.
I think back at Wakefield. Not that I think Wakefield need him.
You're a fan of the vegans, are you, Rich?
I'm a fan of Anthony Mullally.
Irish international.
I like him.
I thought it was poor. I didn't get on with that. You know, you look at that.
Hey, but I'll tell you what, though, Mike, if you mentioned that we're talking about that game here now a little bit, but we need to cast. But
I guess we're an hour and 10 minutes into the show, we should really talk about
well, let's. But did I say, when we look
three
at the
descriptions.
But we'll look at the Leeds game and cast game. Hey, listen, Leeds didn't play that bad. Yeah. To be honest with you, we're just at Castleford, and at times you've got to hold your hands up and say, me and Phil are Leith fans, and I say, you've got to hold your hands up and say...
You've never mentioned it.
We were beaten by the better side, and that's exactly what Castleford was. So if I was giving Leeds a points out of 10 for that performance, it'd certainly be up there with a 7.5, 8 out of there that we were just beaten by a better quality side. And when they turned the tap on, you know, for that spell of, what, 15, 20 minutes where they scored the four tries, and boy, oh boy, were they sensational tries. Take that picture of Spider-Man off that social media there, honestly.
And once it's out there, you can't do anything about it.
It's better than that Mr. Motivator one I'm looking at, I'll tell you.
But what did I say?
Story in Lycra. Now, that would have been worth reporting to the police.
But I say, we will just hold his hand up as Leeds fans and say, we were beaten by a better side on the day. And I know Macca was saying, well, it's not a revenge game, and it'll see where the market says we've come. Says, was it round three or round four with a 66 points to 10 defeat? Yeah, we competed all right.
They weren't far away.
So, I'd say, we'll hold his hands up, and there might be another two or three more...
Possibly four.
Well, maybe 40. Maybe two or three more times we may play Cass, and who knows? But, boy, oh, boy, how good are Castleford. Absolute pleasure to watch.
The intensity of their defence that forces errors is what teams don't recover from.
They've always played some good stuff, but never quite been able to back it up at the other end of the field. I thought yesterday they tried to blow Leeds out of the water early on, and credit Leeds, they hung on in that first 10 minutes, and then Leeds came into it. They tried to blow Cass away, and Cass held on, and then just after half time they did what they can do. And not for the first time, we've all been at games, 15-minute period, four tries, and it's very, very hard to
take. It came on the back of forcing mistakes through the aggressivity of their defence, which is, yes, let's admire the Michael Shenton pass and the tries that went left.
This is a perfect example of how it was forward. It was the best moment, barring that Eden try getting disallowed. Makerson's try was close for the...
That fella's backside. That was good.
But also, fellas, Ian, we just talk about Eden Trout disallowed. What an absolute mistake that was. You know, it was just pure entertainment. And at the end of the day, again, let's use a bit of common sense. The defender, who were the video ref for there? You know, if that would have been the next player on there, if I'd have been there, been video ref, and I said, no, listen, that is a try. The defender has made the mistake. It's quite simple as that. He committed himself early, and literally, like, he fell over, and the Cass player may have just touched him. But it was pure entertainment. The referee gives it a try. If the cameras wouldn't have been there, that was a dead set four-pointer for Castleford. And I just don't understand why we want to cancel out something as attractive as that, because it was sensational, wasn't it? It was a fair try. It was.
The officials did, and even Darryl Powell, in fairness, said, I can see why. I'm disappointed they did, but I could see why.
Tom Holmes's try again, does that... I know that Darryl said towards the end that obviously Leeds targeted where Tom was defending, but he's got to learn. And they did put bigger men up against a smaller man, but the way he took his try, having lost Ben Roberts to injury
we've had a lot of people asking about that, so we'll get with that, and then I want to ask Scoy a question about him.
Well, Mary said Tom Holmes, future star. So a lot of people have, and probably a player who's benefited from John Redge this season.
And how pleased are you then that, I mean, he could have put Millington at six, couldn't he, alongside Gale? He didn't. I know that takes away from Cass. Millington, where he is, he's brilliant. But he's gone with Holmes, said, right, come on, son, let's see what you can do.
I like Tom Holmes. I have done since I've seen him when he's put a Cass shirt on. And again, you've got to give credit to where it's due, and that's to the coach. And, you know, Dallow himself, you know, being an outback from there, and he say, hey, listen, this is how I want you to play, and I'll give you an opportunity, and if you play how I reckon that I want you to play, and you show me that you can handle it, then there you go. There's your opportunity. And the young kid, as Richard Shaw Wright just said there from somebody, this kid is going to be a star performer. There is no doubt about that. He'll love playing under Darryl. Okay, when Roberts comes back, he may have to take a backward step. But
it's a squad game now, though.
I agree. Yeah, Mark, I fully agree with that. But one thing for sure here, if anything does happen to Roberts or maybe Luke Gale, he knows Holmes could come in there and do the job and keep him where they want to get to. He's a quality player, young Holmes. I like him.
Greg Eden was given the Man of the Match award by the broadcasters, but Michael, Lisa, Alex have all said Adam Milner, his defence changed the game. A rock for Castleford. How good is Milner at loose forward? Wow, says Mark.
I would have given it to Michael Shenton, but Milner was outstanding.
Yeah, I would have said Shenton, but I'll tell you what, I've just mentioned Liam Finn as the contender for Man of Steel. When you look at the Castleford players who are in there, Shenton will be in there. Also to Luke Gale, without a doubt. But I tell you, boy, oh boy, Adam Milner. When you're looking at somebody, a quiet achiever, and when you want somebody, it's like the old Royal Powell in our day, you know, we nicknamed Roy the vacuum cleaner, because all he did was just, he just swept everything up. Whether it's a ball to dive on and put your body on the line, whether it's a tackle to be made, whether it's to make the hard yard to take the pressure off, that's what Milner does.
Well, you, so you always, you always kick off. We saw it yesterday, Mullally comes off after 10 minutes fit as a, fit as a butcher's dog. Yeah. Milner, yes, they nearly had to, go on and drag him off. There was nothing left for
him. Listen, I'll say it here and now. Players, right, rugby league players, even from Dave Dots, since 1895 to this present day here now, which is a different game to what we have known over the years with interchange and what have you. Rugby league players, like more, every sportsman anyway, to be honest with you, but rugby league players, they want to stay out on that field. The game's for 80 minutes. If the game was for 880 minutes, they'd still want to stay out there. They don't want to come off. The only time they want to come off is if they've broken their leg or broken a shoulder, they can't stay on there. You know what I mean? They don't want to come off.
I think it's a shame he didn't get a big ovation when he came off. You can tell A, he'd had a good game, and B, he looks absolutely knackered. He'd given everything.
Oh, yeah.
He started off as a scrum half. And you look at how he plays, Phil. I mean, you know, you talk a lot about Stevie Ward.
It's glue. You need people like the way Paul McShane's playing at the moment, who's taking the pressure off Luke Gayle to allow Gayle to not have to do the magic play every time he touches the ball. So it's aiding the team. So Adam Milner sees that, you know, maybe Jesse Senelafano has taken the last two drives. He just needs to be out on the wing for a minute to get his breath. Milner will step in. Every team has to have guys like that that win.
I know we're waxing lyrical about Cass, but Millington, why not? You know,
Mark, we have to do. Yeah. You've got to do. And I say, and Grant Millington, you know, and I say, he's filled in at standoff. And, you know,
well, we could have him, isn't it? What if he got picked for England?
No.
Could be everywhere.
Simple as that. No. But to the job he's doing for Cassavant, again, he's just taking the. Hey, listen, I'm not changing my mind. Australians playing for
England. Calm down.
I think you're mixing with the Adonis now.
You're getting a bit cranky now because you're not having any sleep. Don't take it out on me.
The fact is, you know, Grant Millington, what the pressure he takes off Luke Gayle as well, you know. And I say with the balls, he gets the first man. This is what I talk about at halfbacks. Instead of getting wrapped up around the ruck area, they're having the freedom to play second and third man out. And what Luke Gayle is doing, it's sensational to watch me as an ex-halfback, where he's just plotting. And he's saying to Paul McShane, and he's saying to our halfback partnership with Tom Holmes and Benny Roberts when he plays, say, listen, I couldn't care less for the next 4 to 5 minutes. I'm just plotting. I'm waiting for something to happen, because when I do want the ball, something is going to happen. That is master play from an halfback who is plotting around there. I don't need to be involved all the time. It's great to watch as an halfback seeing a player do what he's doing.
But you can only do that if other players will fill in. One who doesn't get any credit, but I thought was massive again when he made his impact, Matt Cook. Rarely does anything wrong, but never gets a mention because he does the stuff that if he didn't do it, Luke Gayle couldn't do what he does.
Correct. But also when you look at Cassidy, I've said many times, and I'll repeat myself again here, with Castleford, as individuals and as a team collectively, they all know the roles. They don't try and do something what they're not there to do. And that's the balance of a side, and not just a well-coached side, but a man-man side. Every time you see Daryl Powell, you know, he's just got a big smile on his face. And I tell you what, as well, Ryan Sheridan, take that silly bloody hat off of yours and all. For God's sake, take that off. Come on and put a smile on your face like Dell.
Has he got a job on a weekend as an Oasis tribute singer?
I say it's just take it.
I mean, I'd love to have an haircut like that.
Take that off. But I say the smile on Dell, you can see it just reflects. It reflects the whole club, doesn't it? And it's great to see. But what I'll say about Leeds, hey, I tell you what, after that performance, there's no panic there. They were just beaten by a better side. Mm. Simple as that.
But they wanted to see how far they'd progressed, and it's quite a long way.
I understand that, Phil. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Leeds were just beaten by the better side. If it was given points out of 10, it'd be 7.5, 8. McDermott, not a lot to worry about after that performance.
Yeah. And he's got his two big guys to come back, which will add a bit more intensity.
A bit more purpose.
Yeah, go forward. Yeah.
As Niall points out, one of the great swap deals of all time, and it works out well for both parties, as much as Niall's laughing at this one. Who agreed to swap Paul McShane for Scott Moore at Wakefield? But Scott Moore scored that try in that £1 million game, so it was all right. But I remember interviewing Paul McShane, I think the week after he'd moved, he was at the Super 8's launch, and he apologised to me because I told him I was a Wakefield fan, and he left. He apologised. Hey,
I've known McShane since he was a 12-year-old kid on Tip Parkside with my son Jonathan, and he was always destined. At Leeds, he got in the first team. I think he won a World Club Challenge here, didn't he? But unfortunately, for the reason that he was, the player what he was, you know,
he wasn't as mature then as he is now.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I wasn't mature as an 18-year-old, but I got away with things really soon, and I still played for Steve Football, to be honest with you. So that's all about my management, Phil. But then McShane, he had to go away, went to Widnes, went to Hull, Wakefield, and then the guy who's seen him at Leeds, Darryl Power was at Leeds when he seen Matt Shane and said, hey, listen, I'm having him, because I know exactly what a quality player is. And Matt Shane, again, we're talking about the Man of Steel. Sling out there, who do people think who's in for the Man of Steel? I mean, but Matt Shane, again, and Matt Wilson criticised me. You said a little bit on radio, Scotty, all you keep going about is plays for England. Tell you what, he won't look out of place in England shirt, and you criticised me yesterday for saying that.
No, what, they play for England? No, I asked you the question, and it probably like one of the listeners did. You said everyone could play for England. Yeah, everyone could be Man of Steel.
Hold on, you said, shut up, how many players would play for England? 300. That's what you said.
Yeah, well, only 17 can play.
Well, Max Shane wouldn't look out of place in England jersey.
Gary's asked the question.
I know you're used to watching the Bradford Bulls. Well, that's your fumble.
Not this guy. Gary on Facebook's asked McShane or Parcells. I think that's a kind of unfair question, because Parcells has generally been good. He just had a poor game yesterday.
Well, you say he had a poor game yesterday. He still leads his top tackler.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I tell you what.
He's 47 tackles.
He's efficient.
He didn't have the opportunity to do what he could do.
And Castleford made sure that his distribution wasn't going to be as crisp.
I tell you what as well here, though, right?
He works incredibly hard.
What do we do now? Because we have no A team. What do we do now? We're talking about confidence here for a player.
A lot of people mentioned.
And when we're talking about, you know, as a coach, and we're talking about man management, what do we do with Briscoe?
Absolutely.
Right, because Briscoe's confidence is gone. Right, it's literally shot. Whether it's kind of injury or not, I don't really know, but it's from a confidence point of view, Briscoe's gone. So how do we get that confidence back for the kid? We can't. Do we send him to Featherstone? Do we send him to Bradford? That won't do him any good.
Well, the way he's playing, he'll be playing for Featherstone in the old Challenge Cup quarter-final. He'll be kicking the ball at him all day.
As a confidence, will that do him any good? He still wants to be around that dressing room where all the big guys is, so he knows can get the best out of him from there. So it's an interesting one here now, what Lee's doing with Briscoe, because his confidence has absolutely gone for, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has come on the back of two bad injuries. And he's never got it back from the second shoulder reconstruction. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. Where can he play?
Yeah, but as I say, Macca did right as well, being him obviously. Just to save the kid, wasn't it?
And also, very honest in the press conference afterwards, because it would have been very easy to say, oh, he just tweaked a hamstring. But no, he said, you know, on that stage, he was just making too many mistakes, had to bring him off. I thought that was very honest.
Martin was asked, was that a waste of a spot on the bench in having Ashanley?
Well, I asked the question then, yes. Why was Hanley on the bench? Because I'm not sure Ash Hanley's 100% fit either. Or he might be working his way back to fitness, but it's very rare, guys, you have a chap playing on the wing, on the bench. You would normally say...
He covers centre as well.
Maybe. It's interesting when they were lacking, and the captain admits they didn't have enough size in the team, and you leave Baldwinson as 19th man, 18th man, and you put a winger on the bench. I think that says... I think he might, with hindsight, he's got that wrong, Brian. That's my opinion.
But also, Macca worked out and said, "Hey, listen, they're going to play on the right hand side. They're going to play at Briscoe, so I'm going to need maybe a bit of cover."
Well, if he needs cover, he shouldn't play him.
I agree. But where's he going to play now to get his confidence back? Because his confidence.
Well, Featherstone, they're winning every week, aren't they? At the minute,
the point I'm saying is here. You know, he'll be training full time to that Leeds, then going to Featherstone. That's
his stage of his career.
He's a shadow of the man that got five tries at Wembley.
I agree, but he wants to be driving. No disrespect to Featherstone here, but he wants to be driving through the AB Sharman gates rather than driving down Post Office Road. It won't do his confidence. But how do you get it back? That's not coaching. It's man management and saying to the kid, you know, showing some videos then. We've scored in five tries at Wembley, or making a cover tackle, or this sort of thing. But boy, oh boy, it's an interesting one for Macca, isn't it? Yeah, but he did the right thing, you see, by bringing him off.
Yes.
He did.
Yeah.
David says Megson has also suffered bad career-threatening injuries, and look how he has retained his confidence. So maybe it's just a...
Who's that, Rich?
It might just be a loss of form.
Yeah. Who's that, Rich?
Even Gary, who famously said on the radio yesterday he never dropped a pass.
No, I didn't.
Or if he did, it was a bad one.
No, I didn't.
You're a big head, aren't you?
No, I'm just honest.
You can tell me you never dropped a pass?
No.
Okay.
And if I did, it was a bad pass.
Get Doug on the phone.
What's he done that for? He's getting the Ixon there. Give him the Ixon. I'll teach him. Doors open, Phil. You better
ouch.
Leave.
Ouch.
He forgets. I've watched every game he's played. He's dropped some ball.
Ouch. Ouch. You don't mention his name in front of me. I never dropped a ball, Phil.
Joanne never dropped a ball.
Sure up, Scott.
John says, you ask a question, I'll give you an answer.
Yeah, a lie.
John says, we have a good choice of better form wingers at Fairview. Luke Briscoe, Missy Talapapa, Josh Harkas and Scotty Turner. No disrespect to Tom Briscoe, by the way, but we don't need him.
Fair enough.
Rich, that's a good point. Right. Briscoe's confidence gone. How would, if Everson plays, take him into the dressing room? Well, what are we having him for? He's not playing very well. His confidence gone. How would he fit into the dressing room?
But there's not playing well at Super League and not playing well at the Championship, isn't there?
You know, what I'm saying,
the
Matt,
best world in the world, there's a bit of a difference.
Okay, you've been in the dressing room yourself at cricket, right? If your mate, you opening batsman, he was playing all right. Briscoe was a cricketer there. Because he'd lost his confidence playing at Headingley, he was coming to yours. You wouldn't want to, you'd stick up for your
I
mate.
Think if there's a partnership agreement, and that's how a dual reg is received, then you would want him to do well. I think that's how you would look at it.
Well, what about the poor kid who's going to get dropped then as a Featherstone lad?
That's sport. It's a harsh world.
It's harsh. Josh Hardcastle, the next potential Zach Hardacre to come out of Featherstone. Seems to have made a bit of a meteoric rise, holding down a first team place. Yeah. Looking good.
Yeah. Vic is worried about the calibre of the Rhinos squad, bar the legends, the Golden Generation legends, Burrow, Moon, Hall, Ablett. He's very concerned about the Leeds squad. Are you, as Leeds fans, are you concerned about the Leeds squad?
Well, we're all getting on together, aren't we?
Some are. So I'd have issue. To say that, again, yeah. I thought the star for Leeds was Ashton Golding. And that one of the highlights of the weekend was his try-saving tackle. How on earth he managed to hold Shenton up. So I think there are some kids of quality coming through, but it's a cyclical thing. I think we're all surprised that Leeds are fourth. None of us predicted that at the beginning of the season. If they can hold on to that, they're building again.
Yeah, Leeds aren't far off.
Few people
are superb.
Few people saying, bring Jordan Lilly. I don't know if Scotty's logged into Facebook under assumed names or something, but...
We did
have a message earlier from Thomas. Don't discuss Bradford, please.
Why, Thomas?
Looking for they're live on Radio Yorkshire this Saturday from 4 o'clock, picking the ball up and kicking it off again against Hull Kingston Rovers.
Yeah, thanks. Based on current form, what time do they kick off? 5 o'clock, 5 past 5, 8 minutes past five.
It's an old one, isn't it? But you know what Jeff Toomey is coaching with this week? Come on, lads, let's take our normal positions.
Jeff Toomey's not coaching. He's not going to lose them.
Well, whoever's coaching them, it'll be coming then, lads. We'll kick off. Let's go. There's no position behind sticks.
Yeah. It's the only bit of warm grass at Oddsall behind the post. We are harsh, but honest. Jeff Toomey, as I said last week, what's going to last longer, the DFS sale or Jeff Toomey's holiday? Well, Jeff's winning at the minute.
Darren, who just wants to light the touch paper and run, what happened to Sneed? We didn't hear that much on Saturday, did we?
Well, he didn't kick any good. We don't like the rest of the old players.
What were his kickoffs like? Any good?
What are the reasons for Hull's inconsistency, asks another one as well. So, they, obviously, as Lee Radford mentioned in his press conference, when they lose...
Mm. Well, that's a worry now. That's a worry. That is not the sign of a champion team. Mm.
No.
Well,
and that, you know, to again, they've not scored enough points, which has been a criticism aimed at them in previous seasons, but 317 against, I think, tells you everything.
Yeah. I think as well, obviously, St Helens were outstanding, wasn't he? And the Saints fans will be asking, you know, where does that come from and where are we having it from the start of the season? But when I looked at that whole side, yeah, they started out all right, but I just feel as though three or four of the players and the major players are carrying injuries. I do, and, you know, and they're being found out if they are carrying them injuries. But he's a worry for Radders, and as I say, he knows that the problem of the score lines, what they've received. Salford, as we know, 54, Leeds 52, and Saints now 45. And I think I tipped. Did I tip St Helens to win? But anyway, because I knew Holbrook could have a response to get a decent response.
I won't fire off.
But I think with the Hull, Radders, he'll be. He can't wait for the next game. What do they play this week? Have they got? Is it Friday night to play? Who we got?
Yeah, Holby.
Are playing Lee.
Lee, yes, so.
And then they go to the Dragons.
Then they go to Catalan, which again is
so it's a nice fixture for him back at the KC. Lee put the wrongs of the weekend and, he'll be looking for a confidence booster. But if the players are playing injured, then, as I say, they can't be turning out because they're getting found out, aren't they?
The worry would be, I would think, that apart from Gareth Ellis, who obviously has had his injury problems this year, that's not far off the whole
pack. The best side, exactly. It is, yeah.
I thought there were some problems in the centre. I'm not sure either Turgot or Tomivave are comfortable in the centres. Mm. But the pack, when you're conceding 45...
The pack of forwards, Phil, right, well, St Helens, they've got absolutely battered, didn't they? And then I say, St Helens, 45-0. Wow! Where does that performance come from? And I say, yeah, whether they listened to the radio show or it was played in the dressing room as a bit of a motivation, I don't really know, to be honest with you, but me and the chief executive, Mike Rush, just before the game and at half-time, first of all, he said, Scoey, I can't be seeing you, I can't be shaking your hands because the St Helens fans, what he said to me, the St Helens fans, they hate me more than Murph. Well, Murph's one of their heroes, isn't he, Alex Murphy?
They like Murph.
But at full time, he was very grateful for the harsh words when I said to him about St Helens last week. But boy, oh boy, where does that performance come from?
Can it just be that somebody comes in and says, just play? I'm not interested in structure,
reading Justin Holbrook's comments, he wanted to take the pressure off, and said,
I'm not going to give you anything, but just play.
But isn't that great man management, though? You know, because obviously...
From Australian assistant
We all know, Phil, I know about man management, don't worry about that, and people say I'm a rubbish coach, don't worry about that. But what I'm saying is on paper, that's St Helens side, but as we all know, are a quality side on paper, but they haven't shown it. For whatever reason, the Kieran... For whatever reason, the style of play, and then under Shaw Long and what's the
Jamal Alessi.
Jamal Alessi and the scout, it doesn't work. But he's identified the squad that, yeah, they're a good player. So all he wants to do, take the shackles off, go out there and play with your smile on your face and express yourself. And that's exactly what they did. And when you looked at it, and I say John Wilkin, as I mentioned with John Wilkin, is a back rower, quality back rower. He was quality. Alex Wormsey, as rather as I said, and why he never played for England 2 weeks ago, I don't know, because he showed the form on Saturday what he has done all season. Literally Superman, Kyler Moore, James Roby, back to his best. And also as well, Phil Kaplan, Matty Smith played, but your main man.
He can play.
Phil, he even looked like a proper rugby league player on Saturday.
Running angles.
Your main man, he had sidesteps there. St Helens, I tell you what, boy oh boy, what a great... The St Helens fans are asking, where's it been? So St Helens season now started 14 games into the season of the Magic Weekend. I tell you what a derby we've got on Thursday night against Wigan, haven't we?
I thought Matty Smith's transformation summed up the team.
Yep.
The week before against Castleford...
What about the try as well for Makinson?
Yeah, the involvement didn't seem to be enough for whatever reason. It might have been the pressure from the Castleford defence, but even on the last tackle sets, he wasn't dominant.
Mm.
Different man inside 7 days. That was the Matty Smith they signed. You know, leave it to me, I'm in charge, I'll get you around the field. Yes, let's play a bit. The Makinson try, yes, the Shenton pass, but the Makinson try, probably the highlight of the weekend.
You might say, you know, pretty soft defence from the purple and green one. What an awful kick that was, but boy, oh boy, what a great try. But again, as I keep harping on about halfbacks, people will start listening and learning sooner or later. Give them that, where they take the responsibility, plot around the field, look at that vision and awareness and creativity, you'll get the best out of them. It's quite simple, this
but
game,
but you've got to do it on the back of... Your forwards going forward were brilliant.
Phil, that's the same old adage from 1895, to be honest. If your forwards aren't on top, then you know, you're not going to be able to dictate. But
any
St
chance
Helens was
that
sensational.
Wormsley's performance, which was sensational, was on the back of not being selected for England? He's realised that it has to go up another little level to get picked?
Phil, no. He should have been picked, simple as that. Why he never picked him, Wayne Bennett, I'll never know. But sensational, and he is going to be our main prop come the World Cup time. He has to be.
What about Scott Taylor? Did he play himself out of contention?
Well, I don't really think we can just pick out one Hull player, because St Helens just did not let Hull play, did they? You know, Hull... I would imagine Radha would say, OK, he'll adjust the performance, but I would imagine it'd be one of those DVDs. It's gone in the filing cabinet.
But you can't keep doing that, though, can you? Because that's the third time this season.
I understand that, but it'll be in his dustbin and say, right, bad day at the office, we'll move again. Quite simply, St Helens, they didn't let Hull play, they ripped in, and from 1 to 17, they were out. I'll tell you what, James Roby, he was literally back to his best what he was 4 or 5 years ago. He was absolutely everywhere. Mm. The variation of his scoops from dummy half, the variation of his passing from dummy half, and also, too, he was making all the right decisions with the passes. Great to see.
Danny Houghton not fit yet?
I think Danny said that himself. He won't be with a calf. He's been out for 4 or 5, 6 weeks. He won't be, but Hull will be all right.
A lot of Hull fans are pointing out they've got players out injured, but how do you go from beating one full-time professional side 62-0... 1 week to lose 45-0 the week after to a team who've been in awful form? It can't be purely down to injury.
Because the side the week before got embarrassed the week before, the season has come to an end because without the Challenge Cup, and now, and the question for my aforesaid challenges, within players, the consistency, can they go on a 10-12 unbeaten run to get themselves anywhere near the top four? And then again, the new coach coming in, looking to impress, so I guess there were three points for the St Helens players. But, hey, listen, the question is from the Saints fans, and plenty of them were saying to me on Saturday, Scully, where's that come from?
But
where's that performance
come
from?
Can they do it in the big derby on Thursday?
Well, Nigel,
that's the statement.
Nigel's asked you to slag off Wigan, so Saints lose. So we're on reverse psychology. The master of reverse psychology. The doctor of reverse psychology.
Honestly, why do people think my predictions have an influence on games?
Because everybody you slag off wins the following week.
Yeah.
Listen, gentlemen, can we just rephrase that? I don't slag anybody off. I call it constructive criticism.
Yeah. Does that sound better? Well, it couldn't be more constructive because they win the following week. And you haven't even laid into Catalan yet.
Well, Nigel's another one who said, can you tell the Keighley players they were less than excellent this week? It might do a St Helens on them. So, you know, everyone's asking for your... I should say, by the way, I was looking at the League One table earlier. Mm. One to Oxford, another win. Back to back wins for Oxford now.
Yeah, winning record, haven't they?
Yeah, up to nine.
And a game in hand that could take them into the top eight.
So, yeah. You know, that'd be a great achievement for Oxford, wouldn't it? We like to talk about all.
Particularly bearing in mind the Toronto experience.
Mm. Who've gone 8-0 now, as they say over there, after their win over Barrow, who were 2-0 up in that win. Game, so
and launched their last tackle video. Where have we heard that name before?
Yeah, that was good as our last tackle.
Actually, I would recommend it. We went to the launch of it before the first Magic game. They've spent a lot of money on it. It's worth watching it, even if you're not interested in rugby league. It's the way to build a team. It's quite engaging in that reality style, and Brian Noble attempts to explain what forwards do in his usual funny, engaging manner. But you get a feel of how they put this together, and they have spent a lot of money. It seems a dislocation with the amount they put into marketing, and we're talking about we haven't got enough money to promote Magic Weekend.
It's interesting. Still problems getting visas for players, which is becoming a bit farcical.
Again,
let's move on from Toronto. Anyway, a mate of mine who listens in is on Facebook there, George Davis. He's just sent me a message because you know I always send a message and I always put the legend. He just said, "Scoey, are you changing it now to the Adonis? Are you always going to leave the Adonis on now instead of the legend?" What do you reckon, Matt Wilson?
The legend still like Adonis. Descriptions would have a complaint about both of them.
What do you reckon?
I prefer with only Aussies use Wally. I'm just going to call you Wally from now on.
The King.
Wally, no,
King.
Wally.
Something like that.
So thanks for that, George. Yeah, I think I'll change it now to the Adonis instead of the legend.
If you're not going, George,
you're bad.
So, Brian Noble was giving a coaching seminar on what?
Well, they were trying to explain to obviously an unfamiliar audience with rugby league.
Right, okay.
What the men in the pack do. So he was explaining.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the men in the pack do. They put their head in the scrum, and then when they get the ball, they try and make it as hard as possible. That's what they do, don't they?
He was a little bit more technical than that.
Well, then also true as well. Then he was talking about
how ugly they were.
The bookends make the hard yards, and the bookends make the hard yards, and the back rows get wider when you half backs, and they try to run over the small men. That's what forwards do, don't they?
It's a bit harsh. Yeah? I thought Wakefield's forwards looked very good in that Spider-Man kit on there.
They did.
Very big.
Not as good as Scoey did on that one on social media.
Who said that anyway?
Some Wakefield fans. They love you, Scoey. Wakefield, the only team to win in superhero kit this weekend.
Yeah.
Andy says, if you're not going to the Summer Bash this Sunday, Fryston taking on Hunslet in the Barla National Cup final at Fev on Sunday. Should be a screamer, he says. So get down there.
See, again, more joined up thinking there.
Yeah, so the biggest amateur day of the year coincides with the Blackpool Bash.
Yeah.
With Featherstone playing. And
Joanne says a Donna Kebab rather than Adonis.
Well done.
Who said that?
Joanne.
Oh, Joanne, come on. Just because I've said bye-bye.
Shane just says, who we think is going to get the Newcastle job?
Don't know.
There's a lot of jobs
available.
Newcastle's a really interesting job because there is genuine potential there. You've got a backer with money. You've got a fantastic facility.
Why don't we go for it? You've got ambition. Why don't we go for it?
That is a job for...
My son might go for it. Jonathan Schofield, I'll get him to send the seat. Who's the chairman in Newcastle? Who's it?
Seymour Kirby.
Seymour, if you're listening, I'll see if Jonathan will apply for the job. He knows what he's doing, Jonathan. He's got a laptop.
the cast players are on the laptop in the change room. Have you seen this?
I haven't seen
that's
it.
Why
I've been told about
that's
it.
That's why they won.
What's that?
It's the coaching of the shoot. The cast half-time. Players, they were looking at her laptop at half-time, seeing where they were going wrong.
Who was?
The cast players. There's people like Shenton, etc.
Do me a favour, yeah. I'd like to know what would be on laptop. I bet it won't flip Flintstones.
I tell you what, Glenn Morrison is becoming the rugby league answer to Alan Kirbishley. I think with every job now, which is linked to with a Newcastle job.
Right.
So that's good.
Well, if Morrison gets a Newcastle job, Jonathan will be up there because he'll be his assistant then. A laptop.
Will says David Fafita was class at the weekend. He enjoyed his crowd surfing, and you know everyone enjoyed that. James, we're talking about Men of Steel, and the man who scored. Did he score two yesterday? Ben Murdoch-Masilla?
He did, Salford. Yes.
Great play.
There's another play.
He's playing really well.
A player we've been talking about all year in terms of Man of Steel. Yeah.
Who do you guys think for the Man of Steel so far? I'll tell you, Luke Gale for me, Liam Finn, and the big man as well, Junior Moores, for mine.
Millington.
So we're all going cast at this moment.
Well, you'd have to, really, wouldn't you?
What about Liam Finn? How well is he playing, honestly, at Wakefield? He is.
Yeah.
How good was Sean O'Loughlin for Wigan? Oh, I know we haven't spoken about, but yeah. I mean, they've got injury problems, but to manufacture the saving try at the end.
He's a colossus for Wigan.
He was magnificent.
When Sean Wayne knows he's in trouble, Sean O'Loughlin
plays.
Loughlin is all what Wigan's all about, isn't it? But yeah. What you get with Wigan, is, again, what we saw again on Saturday night, well, simple. From the first minute to the last minute, it doesn't matter what the score is, they'll just keep going. They'll keep going. And, you know, okay,
but it's also coming up with the right play at the right time. Not many people could have seen that.
Exactly, Phil.
And executed it.
Yeah, correct. And they'll just keep going for the full 80 minutes, whether they're losing or winning or looking to get the draw, they'll just keep going.
If you were Warrington, would you be particularly annoyed that having got to a point late in the game that you got ahead, that you couldn't close it out for the last 5 minutes?
I would be. But my big problem is for Warrington, Phil, is... He's a Matt Gidley situation. Matt Gidley is a quality rugby player, right? But Ratchford is the fullback. They've got the hooker already in the two kids in Dwyer and Clark, and then the halfbacks. Luke Patton again got dropped, so it's got to be Luke Patton
or even Declan Patton.
Well, Declan Patton
and Kirk Gidley.
Declan Patton and I say so. It's got to be Patton and Brown for the halfbacks there, and Gidley for mine at times. He's getting in the way of what Warrington wants to achieve. You know, he wants to be the main man from the organiser, and he's not that sort of player. So
he
should be coming off the bench for mine.
Loose forward in the same way that Adam Milner does for Cats.
I wouldn't have an issue in playing a loose forward or coming off the bench being a hooker. But Warrington need that right balance, and with Gidley being in there, they haven't got that right balance. He's trying to take on far too much responsibility instead of letting Patton and Kevin Brown do what they do, exactly like Luke Gale does at Cass. Plotting around the field, being involved for 4 or 5 minutes, he wants to take all the responsibility. And for mine, I'll buy into the scenario of being a loose forward or coming off the bench and maybe coming at loose forward or being a hooker.
I'll tell you what, when we come to doing the dream team selections later in the season, how many Castleford players are going to be in there at the moment? It's going to be tricky to get.
There's a long way to go,
Well, hold on here. I'm going to tell you now.
He said this yesterday.
We're coming up to round 15.
Cass fans,
you're going to be absolutely delighted. Castleford, you're going to be absolutely delighted here. I'll tell you what, the legend, the Adonis, Castleford, you're doing the treble. You've heard it first here on Radio Yorkshire from the legend.
Get on there and lay that off.
You said I was bonkers 4 months ago when we did our predictions.
And I think it was a fair call, to be honest with you. But now we've not just seen Castleford.
So now I've been proved right.
We've not just seen Castleford.
So you're not a mystic.
We've not just seen Castleford as the attacking force, as Daryl Powell said in pre-season. They've worked very hard. When it's time to sleeves up to do the hard work, we've seen that side of them now. We've not seen it once, but we've seen it 3 times. Castleford are doing the treble. You've heard it here first.
You've mentioned Warrington. I was going to go on to something else, but Daniel has mentioned this. Foul knocked on from the restart. Wire robbed. Correct or incorrect? Matt Horton was apoplectic to my left, but he was commentating on Warrington at the time.
And I never saw
it. He says they won't talk about the foul knock-on. What do you think? Is some kind of Wigan conspiracy? Sean Wayne doesn't like us. It's all right. We'll talk about Wigan.
Well, he don't like Scott.
We don't like Scott.
But then again, neither did Richard Phil and I. So
has he started returning your calls yet?
No.
Voicemail.
No.
Hello.
No,
it's Gary.
Just wanted to wish you good luck.
Oh,
good luck, Sean.
Please, do me a favour.
Was it a knock-on? He looked at it in real time, but it was difficult to tell in real time. Kev says, hope they never bring in Golden Point. Dreadful idea, he says.
I'd have loved that. Why wouldn't you have wanted to see a bit more of Warrington?
I like the Golden Point.
Mm.
Bring it in for me.
But I think the only thing is I don't like about Golden Point is all those drop goals.
But not as naff as Luke Gayle's, though.
Oh, no.
That was a cracker.
But like a curling free kick.
Teams do that in the last 5 or 10 minutes of games anyway when it's close.
Mm.
I just think both coaches seem particularly down after that result. Because at least one of them would have had something to celebrate.
Yeah, a winner.
What did the Americans say? A draw's like kissing your sister.
That's what they say.
Oh, what?
Yeah, anyway.
Excuse me.
We don't get into.
You've gone down a treat on social media. The Cast fans. Hold on, they're burning effigies outside the studio. Yeah.
Kev.
Yeah. Looks like you.
Listen, lads, you've been a bit harsh here.
It's not me, it's the Castleford fans. They're weighing in now.
Why
do you think you've tipped them to win everything?
That's it.
Yeah.
Season over.
You might as well have put a black handkerchief on your head.
I'm the best predictor in the game. I'm the best predictor in the game.
What, getting it wrong?
I'm the best predictor in the game, honestly. I am.
Now, Richard obviously...
I might get one wrong every week. Hull by 34.
79 points out. That is the worst prediction I have ever heard.
Well, Hull were rubbish, weren't they? I didn't know they were going to be rubbish, did I? I thought St Helens were going
to
be.
Richard obviously doesn't listen to this programme. Now, I believe we are part of the Rugby League media. Somehow, by hook or by crook, we're clawing onto our accreditation passes. But he says, why no media credit for Salford? We've gone from 2 minutes from relegation to second in Super League. It may not last, but it's a story. Well, the good doctor's trying to make it into a different story by the old Manchester Red Devils thing. Although Scotty's big fans of the doctor this week because he's off the Chester races.
But oh, yeah, who are you second?
We're always praising Salford.
Not you.
Why?
He also
to be fair, you owe me about 50 quid for all the drinks I bought you on the weekend.
The great doctor as well, the great doctor has told you, Mark, that he's being asked to go into the jungle. If you don't want to go, Dr. Kukash, get the legend in.
I don't think that was for public consumption,
I want to go in the jungle. I want to go in the jungle. I've been there. They've had my CV for 7 years. The Adonis, the legend. He wants to go in the jungle.
We give lots of credit to Salford on this programme.
We do, yeah. So you're out of order. You bang out of order there, Richard. Yeah.
We're big fans of Salford. We like the AJ Bell Stadium.
We do.
We can't wait for the...
Don't like the ISDN, it never works, but we like the stadium. Yeah.
We can't wait for the rebrand and the new badge and another new name for Salford in Super League, because they haven't had enough so far.
I tell you what, though, how well are Salford playing? What a good side.
Well, again, it's not enough that they're second in the league and are having their best season since probably the early 70s, but all everybody else is talking about is the change in the name.
Yeah,
for goodness sake, just... Play.
Build on what you've got.
People will come if you play an attractive brand of rugby and you're successful.
Build and they will come.
The other thing is... Why not tie in to the iconic brand of Salford? There are so many things that are Salford associated that differentiate you from Manchester. Lowry and the Imperial War Museum, Media Centre.
I can see why people in Salford would get upset about it, because I'm a Wakefield person and my city is slowly encroached by Leeds.
Greater Leeds.
Leeds. And no, don't be part of Leeds and Wakefield
me. How many people are going to wake up one morning and go, that's all it took? Just a change of name. Now I'm going to go. Play to your strengths.
They play some great football. They play some great football.
I enjoyed watching them yesterday.
When I see Salford...
Showed a lot of character yesterday, as well. Because that could have been a game...
They were pretty good,
for an hour.
Lee were good. They were. Again, it's just a little bit of a knitter problem, but again...
Can I ask you a question, Gary? Yeah. If you could have done one of those Higson tackles on one player, who would it be? Or would it be Doug Lawton?
Chris Arkwright.
You'd have a laugh at you. I'm one player. Who would it be? Could I do it to any of my own players?
Yeah, you do it to whoever you want.
Could I do it? Alan Tate. No danger. Alan Tate.
Do you not like Alan?
I can't stand him. Mole. Puppet. Mole.
Oh, is he a mate of Doug's? Puppet.
Correct.
Mate of Doug's.
Yes.
Dougie here, this is what's going on, this is what's being said at dressing room.
And do you know what? Right? He's speaking at the Vice President's Workington, I'm the only Vice President at Workington town, and he's speaking at their do a week of Friday. And because he's speaking, I'm not going. Mole. Absolute mole.
Ask what? Colin Maskell about him.
Must be bad he didn't say John Gallagher.
The world's greatest player.
Voted.
No, John. John deserved to be levelled out. No. Alan Tate, no hesitation.
Let's talk relegation.
On the Great Britain coaching stuff, Alan Tate.
Mark says we'll win the strap out of the Super League, and Jimmy says, should the Catalans be protected from the possibility of relegation, or is there inclusion in Super League now?
No. Why should they be protected?
Because they were...
Here's another one. Will Bradford be protected if they finish bottom of the Championship?
I've got a horrible feeling they will be.
Under what criteria? Mm.
What are Bradford Bulls Northern 2017 offering to the game of rugby?
Correct. But bearing in mind Toronto will go up, somebody has to come down. If it isn't Bradford, how could you rationalise
it? Like Super League, two division to 14.
I think the word coming from the CEO, Mr. Rimmer, was to expect no change in 2018. He can't see either Super League.
I'm not
or the
sure if
change.
He told me what the date was. I wouldn't check my calendar, Phil. So I'm not. You know, with the best will in the world, I'm not holding out on that.
He assured us
it was the best for rugby league that Bradford stayed in the championship.
He told us that at the press conference.
Richard Shawright was saying there, what is the purpose of the Bradford Bulls at this moment in time?
Because this is not a knock on those supporters who go week in
week
out.
It's a club.
If Bradford Bulls had not played in 2017 and reformed and rebuilt and started again in 2018,
and did it in 1964.
Would we have lost anything? Because Bradford Bulls are not the team who had 20,000 crowds 15, 20 years ago, because they've all gone away, because Bradford became rubbish, because they had no money and are where they are now. We all want to see every team have big crowds and win everything, and not every team can win everything, but we all want to see every team be as successful as they can be. And Bradford, the way they are set up at the moment, can't be.
No, they can't be.
They can't employ the coach they want to employ. Because they can't even have either.
To be honest with you, are they worth talking about the Bradford Bulls?
No, they're not.
Exactly.
It's banned now on this show.
The bell.
It's banned.
Apart from on Saturday.
Well, we'll commentate on all the tries at OKR score, of course. Yeah, so we'll see.
Gary's got some... Gary Carter, who's an expert in Salford geography. The Imperial War Museum is in Trafford, and Lowry lived in Tameside, so they don't count, unfortunately.
I think they're iconically associated with Salford.
Elsewhere.
But I bow to his superior local knowledge.
David says, I hope Tate is listening.
There's talk of a charity boxing match. Would you take him on, Scully?
Oh, would I ever?
Joanne says, the problem is that the Bradford Bulls' name is tarnished now. They need to start again. And she's exactly right. Makes a lot of sense. But she also said about the summer bash, and this is from ages ago. It's even more unfair over Super League's Magic Weekend because you get part-time teams playing against full-time teams for an extra game.
Mm. Mm.
Although Halifax Toulouse should be good.
It should be. That's one of the
things. Well, it's an important game.
Because only four teams can qualify, and you would say only three out of four rather than four out of five, because OKR, I reckon, are just about there. But Halifax and Toulouse, both on 20 points. That could be the game of the weekend.
I know we're running out of time. Almost, yeah.
We haven't had his rant about Catalan yet.
No, we've heard it.
Watch the last tackle. It's on there.
All I say is about the Catalan's players, you're a disgrace, you've got the coach to sack, you've all got the factor six on, you're only 14 games since the season 2017, you're a disgrace.
Rob has asked, I know we need to look at player welfare, but is it fair that Saints and Huddersfield have changed their round 16 fixture to Cup weekend because they're both out of the comp? Liam says, thoughts on the Giants postponing their game, which they're saying is because Huddersfield Town are in the Championship playoff final, which we all wish them well, of course, but is it fair on everyone else?
No, it isn't. That weekend is put in there to make it an even test for everyone, and those two teams, through perhaps no fault of their own, don't get put through that rigour.
When Hull...
And it's on the back of failure, because it happens to be that they're both out of the Challenge Cup. That is not right.
When Hull City got to the FA Cup final, a lot of people said the Hull derby should have been moved at the Magic weekend, which was preposterous, because it was already set in stone. Should we be moving fixtures because people have decided, I'm not going to watch the Huddersfield Giants today, I'm going to go watch the football team. People who probably wouldn't have gone to watch
it should be on the big screen, and it should be a later kick-off, but they should still play under this two games in a weekend.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good point, yeah. You know, and with the best will in the world, they only get 5,000 anyway, don't they?
If you've only got to be close supporters of Huddersfield Town, again, that's fair enough. Isn't it's it your
about,
choice.
But isn't it about the self-confidence of the sport? That we're basically saying, oh, you know, we don't think we're as big to certain people as...
Fair enough, if the game was being played and Huddersfield Town were playing it in Huddersfield, you've got to move it. I understand that, but I think it is a bit of a... it's an advantage, isn't it,
yes,
rather than a disadvantage.
Just move the time
and
of the game.
And probably the fact that St Helens are quite happy to have it move tells you everything you need to know.
And that's everything that St Helens have got to play for, so they would.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
exactly.
It's not fair on the other teams that at the moment
are
in
the
bottom.
And also, does that have an impact on their team on Thursday and Friday, knowing the players have only got to go through one game, so you might be worth risking maybe one player or...
Yeah, if I was St Helens, then I'd be thinking, we can put absolutely everything into this Wigan game. If you're Wigan, you're thinking, we want to put everything into it, but we're also mindful of the fact that we've got to have 17 guys on the field in 4 days' time.
Yeah. Fair enough. Rich, any more for any more?
Final couple of things. People asking about the... Jimmy says, you're not worth saying for the last game of the Bash on Saturday. Oh, it's a bit harsh, Jimmy. We can get to the front earlier, but I'm sure it'll be entertaining.
Again, wasn't one of the reasons that Bradford were included in the Championship was because the RFL wanted them to take their huge following to the Bash and make the Bash a success?
Which it is on the Saturday, apparently.
Naivety of the worst kind.
Yes. No, Phil. Because Ralph Rimmer said... There's a fan who told me he hadn't been to the Bulls for years, he's going to Hull KR on the opening day of the season. And as we said, what about the 500 that we can tell you aren't going again because of what you've done to the club?
Can he let us know if that fan's going to Blackpool?
Where's them tanks?
Yeah, well, he should know who he is. He told him, didn't he, in person?
I tell you what, final point then goes to Mark. He was a proud uncle at the weekend.
Yes.
Because his niece gave the referee the match ball for Leeds and Castle, which is also a mascot to the Leeds players, and she loved Magic Weekend 100%.
Brilliant. Well, that's what it's about.
Yes,
that's what it's about.
All those kids who went on the pitch and gave out the balls, were mascots, had played on the pitch, had a great time, and hopefully we're back up there again very soon.
Indeed. Right, it's prediction time. Scott, you're not allowed to set part this week. You've been relegated.
Why?
Saints Warriors.
Well, I say Saints performance, pretty confident, new coach in there. I'm going St Helens. It won't be... Won't be a big scoring game.
79?
I'm going Saints by 8.
I'm going Saints on the basis of the fact that Holbrook's home performance, there might be something extra in there.
Fourth draw of the season from Wigan.
Wigan? Draw?
No, draw.
Draw, yeah. I'm going to go for... I'm going to go for Wigan. Cass Widnes.
Simple, witness a rubbish. Castleford equality. Castleford equality.
You can't knock the logic.
Castleford by 40.
Right, so that's a 79 point turnaround.
Witness by 39 then this week. Go on, Rich.
Cast by 24.
Okay. Hull Lee. In fact, I'm not even doing these. Leeds Warrington.
Why not doing these? Oh, Leeds Warrington.
Well, Hull Lee then.
Yeah, Hull, get themselves back on track, Hull by 40.
Yeah, Hull.
Lee.
Lee, why are you going for Lee?
I thought they played all right yesterday.
He's Phil Clark.
And I think, yeah.
Phil Clark always goes for Rich.
Leeds Warrington.
Leeds Warrington.
Yeah, an interesting one here. Leeds to get themselves again back into winning way. I'm going to Leeds by 8.
Leeds have been good when they've suffered a defeat this year and hit him back straight away, so I'll go with Leeds.
They should have beaten Warrington last time, but they had one of their players knocked out. Leeds by 8.
Yeah, I think Leeds will win that one. Salford Catalans.
Yes, Salford for mine. Catalans, well, them players are a disgrace. They've got what they wanted. They've got the coach sacked. Salford by 20.
Jeff Tuvey in place for the game. Catalan. No, Salford.
Salford by 8.
Yeah, Salford for me, and the mighty Wakefield taking on the Giants.
Wakefield are in great form. Hopefully you Wakefield fans will get down in many numbers. Wakefield by 14.
Wakefield are in great form, but Huddersfield are in gritty form, and Donnybrook will be back, I believe. So
no, I think he's,
he's got one more.
Yeah, Wakefield, but it'll be closer than a lot of people think.
Revenge, Wakefield by 8.
Yeah, I think it'll be less than 10. Won't be a lot in it. Very good. That's it, we're done and dusty. We've got loads of rugby league for you this weekend. Leeds Warrington Friday. On Monday we're at Wigan Wakey, and in between that we're at the Batch, London Fev, Hull KR Bradford, Halifax Toulouse, Batley against Dewsbury. All that to look forward to. Another cracking show. Thanks to the Adonis, Wally, for joining us as well.
The Adonis has enjoyed it. Don't worry about
it. It's like Where's Wally. Everyone says they've seen you in various places that you haven't been, but it just adds to the
Hold on. If people say they see me in where does my missus think I am? When I'm just, you know...
Nah, don't worry
I'm
about
on radio,
that.
I'm at Morrison.
Wait till she hears about that lovely lady you were talking to in the corridor when you were barely dressed. Phil, thank you as always. Richard, thanks to you as ever. Podcasts will be available. Please download it, share it. Tell your friends we're here every Monday. 6 until 8, we're talking all things rugby league. Might be a little bit late next week because we're all away at various different grounds, but we will be back next week. So when you're on your way home from the game, you can tune in. Wherever you're watching your rugby league, whoever you're watching this weekend, have a cracking week of rugby league. We'll be there every step of the way with you, and we will see you all again next Monday night at 6-ish.